Tinker reported on documents showing the NYPD is seeking to contract with Vigilant for access to the National Vehicle Location Service. Much like the Stingray cell phone surveillance tools, departments who contract with Vigilant sign agreements not to publicly discuss the database. But the American Civil Liberties Union says the departments may be violating open record laws by refusing to release the details. The United States visit of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu caused a boycott by more than 50 House Democrats and protests from the Jewish community. While speaking at the annual American-Israel Public Affairs Committee in D.C., Netanyahu was faced with protests from a few dozen rabbis who oppose the state of Israel, as well as protesters with Code Pink rallying outside the Cannon House office building. Code Pink protesters entered the House building and confronted members of Congress for their support of Netanyahu's plan to halt nuclear talks between the U.S. and Iran. Netanyahu also spoke to Congress directly, asking those in attendance to abandon talks with Iran, calling it a, quote, very bad deal, end quote. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from My Magic Mud, detoxifying tooth powder, the most effective and affordable dental care around. Get a 150 application jar at MyMagicMud.com. Looking to promote your business or cause to tens of thousands of loyal listeners? Well, for a limited time only, the Liberty Beat is offering you the chance to save big while spreading your message. It's simple. Just sign up for 3 months of advertising and get your fourth month free. Don't miss out on this unique opportunity. Just visit thelibertybeat.com/advertise and use coupon code GCN in the Describe Your Company section. This is the Liberty Beat for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. Check out the website at thelibertybeat.com. CNN is reporting that a Justice Department civil rights investigation has concluded that the Ferguson Police Department and the city's municipal court engaged in a pattern and practice of discrimination against African Americans. The probe is a result of an investigation ordered by Attorney General Eric Holder after the police shooting that killed Michael Brown last summer. On Tuesday, retired Army General David Petraeus pled guilty to leaking classified intelligence to his former mistress and is expected to receive 2 years of probation and a fine. Petraeus, who was also the former director of the CIA, pled guilty in a U.S. District Court in North Carolina to one count of unauthorized removal of classified material and retention of classified material. The plea deal allows Petraeus to avoid a trial and accept a charge that carries a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison. However, both the defense and prosecution recommend he pay a $40,000 fine and serve 2 years probation. A research paper published by Google discusses the possibility of ranking search results based on factual accuracy rather than popularity. The paper discusses ranking the search results after Google analyzes a variety of services, including Freebase, Wikipedia, the CIA World Factbook, and an internal research database known as the Knowledge Vault. Google would compare the accuracy of website content against the databases and then rank accordingly. The Liberty Beat is sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks, your online source for firearms, firearm accessories, and ammunition. They take major credit cards and now accept Bitcoin. Visit them online at shop.centraltexasgunworks.com. Support also comes from the Conscious Resistance Network. Videos, news reports, and articles from a spiritual anarchist perspective. Experience the Conscious Resistance at theconsciousresistance.com. This is the Liberty Beat for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. I'm Brian Hagan, reporting, reminding you, spread liberty with a smile.
Tomorrow's my big day. I'm going to go in for surgery, and hopefully you'll come along. Now, I do have to admit that I am in a bit of pain, so I'm really looking forward to this procedure. I think we're both going to find out that having surgery just isn't as scary as it sounds.
We're covering our own Jim Haggerty's kidney stone removal surgery, and his surgery is now just minutes away. So, Dr. Atkins, tell us what precautions we would take to prevent us from getting kidney stones.
Always stay hydrated. Water helps the kidneys break the stuff down.
Hear that, Jim? More water.
What?
More water. Maybe we should replace your coffee.
Please go away.
That's a camera they're going to use to film the whole surgery from inside Jim's body,
right? Yes, that's
going to
be pushed into Jim's urethra as well. Now, normally they wouldn't do this. This is purely for the benefit of us watching it on TV.
All right, stick with us, because first he's going to pop into the children's ward to cheer up some youngsters suffering from terminal illnesses.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us.
But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Hello. Who do we have on? James Bovard in the third hour, rocking. Okay, well, that's good. You know, there is a, you know, perspective that a lot of people that we know, we've had on the show, that they have, that serves us. And I tell you, a lot of it has just come from history and experience. James Bovard has written books on Bush administration, Obama, government in general. Lost Rights was the first one I remember back in the early 90s. And it's just, and he lives right there by Washington, D.C. And I'm like, ew. But there's a lot of information I'm sure we're going to get caught up on with him. And we were to have yesterday, we're going to have Scott Horton, antiwar.com radio. Or Scott Horton show, you know, it's anti-war, of course. And he begged off. He's just like, no, I can't do it today. There's something going on, something. So we get some drama, you know, find out, you know, what's going on when we have him on to see why that was, you know, necessary. But, you know, Scott, of course, is always in the middle of something important. Hey? So we'll go ahead and talk about that. Speaking of Spanish, today what we're going to go ahead and do, Donna is doing some work and so on. And I'll preface it a little bit, and then we'll talk about our experience at Anarco Poco and visiting with Lover France. There was one gentleman, after first couple of days, it was later at night, and I wasn't the first to go to bed, but I mean, no one the last to stay out either. And we would sleep late, and unless there was something I really wanted to see in the morning, one of the presentations or so on. And he said, he goes, Ernie, and he was, you know, in his 40s, 50s or something. And he goes, is it always so cliquish? And I go, I knew what he meant. You know, it was just, there's a lot of groups of friends hanging and so on. And how do you insert yourself into the party and just, you know, and I go, yeah, but these guys, I've been going to a lot of these things. They're friends. I mean, they've gone through the battle in the trenches together. They've, you know, been on the flame wars online for, you know, it goes on for seemingly long time, and in the trenches as activists. And they each got their own leadership roles, a lot of people that they influence, a lot of things that happen, and there's a lot of history here. So, you know, he made friends, you know, by the end of the conference, you know, he's, you know, hanging there. Everybody was, you know, really nice to everyone. But there was I was surprised at how many people were there. There was probably, God, I think, like 300 people, you know, that went to Acapulco. Anarco Poco, you know, during a time that there's, you know, wars and rumors of wars and problems going on in, you know, Mexico. It's a failed state, as if that was bad. So I'm just going, the atmosphere was fun. I mean, there was no pressure. It was everything just, you know, chaos reigned and things just got done. I mean, it worked out. If someone that was new to this kind of thing, they went and they, okay, well, there was always somebody speaking. There was plenty of things that was going on. They probably kind of sort of almost, you know, stuck by pretty close to the schedule. And that's one thing that we do when we do our summits, man. The trains run on time. You know, we're real butthead about keeping the schedule. Everything else, I don't care. You know, but then there were some recordings and so on. We'll probably start seeing those going up. Various people have various presentations up and so on. I wanted to do the list, and we didn't have it because they already took it down, Anarco Poco, the site they did, and it's not there anywhere. So it was a lot of people that you've heard about or should have heard about, and a lot of the people that just went to cover it and didn't speak or just to hang, you know, are very influential in the movement. If you had this, I talked to Cody Wilson yesterday. Oh, did you guys set up a schedule when Cody's coming on? Go ahead, and I told him that you'd, you know, get take care of. What he did, Cody Wilson, was to go down, and he just kind of got, warned off. And I don't know how, didn't ask, and maybe he'll tell us on the show. But what happened was, you know, he was, I think, in Houston. He was getting ready to go or something, and no, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Because Federal Express, the shipping company, FedEx, Federal Express decided that they're not going to ship his Ghost Gunner milling machine. Those of you that don't know, Cody is playing a very, very high-level game. I want to say it's a game. Game. All the world's a stage. We're just bit players. Watch my bit.com. What Cody is doing is he's taking circumstances, law, and technology, and he's demonstrating that regulation is not possible anymore. That distributed manufacturing, distributed machining, distributed people's money, you know, this decentralized concept of, you know, we don't have to be under the thumb of, or we can just bypass a lot of regulation and bottlenecks and communication diversions and surveillance and all this kind of just, it just doesn't matter. It just, and how they, them, those rule us is through intimidation and fear. And the fear comes from, you know, weak links. You know, points of failure, you know, where you get on a plane, where the database is held, where you're, you know, you keep your stuff, where, I mean, there's always some, you know, pressure point. I don't, I mean, I'll talk about my children and grandchildren, but you don't see a lot of pictures of them. I mean, you know, rarely, every now and then, you know, they'll come in and I'll kind of hold up and say hi or something when they're, you know, four or something like that, but I don't get my kids and grandkids involved in the politics. They may help. They know what's going on and meet them at parties and, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's the campaign picture with all your family around you, as impressive as that might be. You know, it's like, no. Because that was one thing even the mob kind of learned, man. You just don't involve the family. You don't, you know, have... Get them at you want to get them, go get them on the street and cap them on at the traffic light or something like that. But you don't mess with the families. Government, they focus on family. They'll go after whoever, whenever, 3 o'clock in the morning, kicking in, doing kind of. And I just, and I'm wondering why that tactic is so different. Even the worst sorts of the, you know, cartel. Well, I guess, you know, the big bad guys, they just get you wherever, you know, but. Is there any kind of code? No, not really. I mean, as you look more, and I'm kind of holding off on this, you know, jihadi, John Jihad, or Jihadi Johnny, or whatever the heck it is, this ISIS guy that's, you know, killing people on video. What made him? You know, and we're starting to find out it's blowback from all kinds of different programs and intelligence communities. So, because you get in to where even as a puppet of or controlled agent of, and there's a you know, a hacker guy that the FBI controls and does in the House of Cards. You know, they just released another batch of House of Cards, Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, about you know, power. Well, does power corrupt? Absolutely. Frank Underwood's going to find out, you know. So, details at 11. Well, we've been watching it. Donna's, you know, getting up to speed when we watch the rest of this. And I can see, from my perspective, that there is a high level for your mind, a battle for your soul, a battle for your compliance, a battle. We're going to go ahead and talk about our experiences there and our perspective, just from someone that's been around a while, and see if we can tell where this is going.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona.
Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills. And you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-981-7590. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-981-7590. 800-981-7590. Get out of debt now. 800-981-7590.
Did you know that FreeAid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At FreeAid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. FreeAid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The FreeAid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
Did you know that you can listen to LRN.FM 24/7 via our free-to-air satellite channel? From Mexico to Canada, our signal covers nearly all of North America. All you need is a view of the southern sky, an affordable receiver, and a dish as small as 30 inches. There are no monthly fees. Learn more at sat.lrn.fm. Plus, if you're a broadcaster or want to be one, this is a good delivery method for our content. See our coverage map and get details at sat.lrn.fm. That's sat.lrn.fm.
Free Press Publications is an independent, alternative media and publishing company founded in June 2009 with the mission of ensuring a free press for the freedom movement and is committed to spreading the message of peace, freedom, love, and liberty. FPP also gives new authors an avenue for publishing freedom-oriented material. FPP brings you daily news and commentary on the website fpp.cc, as well as a daily 5-minute newscast, FPP Radio News, and weekly news, views, and commentary in the FPP Freedom Minute and Peace, Love, Liberty Radio at fppradio.com, and the monthly newspaper FPP News at news.fpp.cc. Find FPP online at fpp.cc. That's fpp.cc, as in Creative Commons.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show, where we're going. There aren't any roads.
Okay. How many agencies of how many governments may have been in attendance? I'm sure that you could probably make money just from that. Hey, all you got to do is buy a ticket. A Narco Poco in Acapulco. I mean, you know, the one thing that came up at the event Joby Weeks from Colorado and travels around a lot and so on. And he was the first one to, this is just an example of the people that are there. Joby and Stephanie are good friends and they travel a lot, and he'll be here next week. We'll hang. And he'll give a really good presentation for the Bitcoin Summit and how Bitcoin can be used internationally and different things that and entrepreneur opportunities that he has and how he rewards people or pays, or you have the option to take your income in Bitcoin and other different things and the freedom that gives you. But he has a home in Breckenridge. It's a ski resort, you know, snow skiing. He's a big snowboarder and so on. In Colorado. And what he did a few years ago was, well, he started off how we got to know each other. He was the one with the world's longest limousine, the Ron Paul limousine. During the 08 Super Bowl, that was the Giants versus the Patriots here, it came to Phoenix, and we just, you know, made a big woo-hoo with that and a bunch of activism and skywriting and Ron Paul blimp balloons everywhere on every street light and helium up at the top, and they can't get just being buttheads. Well, during that time, he was very active and traveling around and just very enthusiastic and support and spend a bunch of money on and Ron Paul stay up on the podium kind of thing. So we got to meet each other and, you know, became friends. And in a lot of different events, and introduced them to, you know, some of our friends and them to their friends, and we're all friendly. Well, he's a very enthusiastic, you know, just an entrepreneur guy. He made his millions before, I think at 19, 20 or something, a millionaire doing Manitech. You know, it's a supplement. It's food, you know, and he did like the Tom Shoes thing. You buy one, some homeless kid gets a pair of shoes, you know. The homeless kid gets to eat. So he gets to know a lot of political leaders around the world, because when you're, you know, given food and good nutrition and they're not starving, of the homeless children, the orphans and so on from around the world, you know, they kind of rub shoulders and want to know you and get some benefit out of participating with you and so on, and they look good. So he makes a lot of friends, and his wife Stephanie is just beautiful and very intelligent and accomplished herself and in nutrition, and writes her own blogs, and they're traveling, you know, the Facebook and so on. They're very open people. Stephanie is, you know, a little too open, you know, criticism of Joby. Joby, God, man, you can't tell everybody you meet everything about where we're going, what we're doing, everything, you know. And he's just an open guy. He's very positive, to let the love in, and it's all good. So he doesn't like, you know, negative waves, just to, you know, it's kind of, yeah, so they're an agent, so what? You know, we can love on them anyway. And I'm kind of that. I mean, you want to not, you know, handle on a silver platter, you know, please come, you know, get me or something. But, you know, it's just, if you're just nice to everybody, it just kind of, the world's better from his perspective. And I tend to agree. But you have a lot that you can lose, you know, your freedom. You know, the ability to go around and associate and enjoy yourself. And he uses his charisma, you know, to inspire people. That is where the focus, I think, is. And I don't think bad guys don't see influence or inspiration as a threat. They see, you know, actual action or political or votes or money, and, you know, they see that as a threat. But when you have someone like that, you know, and a lot of people in the space are just enthusiastic, has a lot of influence, and gets involved in politics, say what? You know, they want to pay attention. Because they see it as a manifestation. It's just a technique or a method to them to raise money or get votes or wield influence or something like that. They don't understand that it's just a manifestation of a much larger movement of something that beats in the breast of everybody. It just doesn't compute. They don't understand that way. They weren't raised that way. They don't see it. And it's always the one person. It's always the one that will go to the back of the bus. It's always the one that just says, don't, you know, touch my junk. It's always the one that, don't tase me, bro. It's always the one. And one of those guys is Luke Radowski. And He's very sensitive to people that would threaten his freedom of expression, his freedom to move around, put you in a cage and so on. Because it started at 14. You know, it's 9/11 stuff and everything. I mean, the guy is only 27, 28 years old. But he has, you know, the eyes and the I don't know, what's the stature, the presence of a much older, wiser, been around the block a few times guy. Because he has. And if you've heard all of his stories, if we did, you know, one time we need to get Luke on for 3 hours, just do a 3 hour Luke thing. Well, where's the treasure trove of information? Where do you get to know these people? It's on Freedom's Phoenix, on Declare Your Independence, on this show. You know, the hours of archives, like, you know, if you want to know who these people really are, just go listen to the show. You know, you find out what their motivations were, why they did, and that they're I don't know, either not the threat you fear or they're exactly the threat you fear. Anarcho-Poco was not anything other than an opportunity for a lot of people to get to meet some of the most influential people on the planet. And the reason I say that is because it's a spark that ignites brush fires in the mind. And where does that happen more than, and that's another thing, what language would you do this presentation in? I mean, what language would you have an event in? What language is the one that you need to learn? What, and that was the question that I asked one of the panels of the people that had moved to Central and South America. And Jeff Berwick and Angel Clark and a couple other people that have moved down there, you know, just get talked about their experiences and so on. And it's English. As freaking messed up as English is to learn. I mean, it is. I taken Spanish in high school, and I'll tell you, you know, just a little bit, a few months of Spanish, and it served me well my entire life. You know, the verbs and the nouns, you know, what do you want to do? I want to go, I want to come, I want to get, I want to pick up, I want to something. What do you want to do? You just know that word and the noun, you know, who, what, where, you know, and you go, okay, I want to do this in this way, you know, and what tense with that thing. And, you know, donde está la casa de Pepe? I mean, you know, where is the house of go to the bathroom? I mean, you know, I mean, you talk like a caveman, but I mean, at least you can be understood and you can communicate. Spanish is probably going to be one of the Latin languages, you know, Italian, French. You know, you have some of the others like Russian and German, and they don't have anything to do with anything, you know, or Mandarin, oh my goodness. So it's going to be English, I think. All the pilots have to know English. There's a lot of English. So if you want to go anywhere and you speak English, you're probably going to be a lot better off than most. We got a lot to talk about and some pictures when we come back.
On LRN.FM, we talk a lot about alternative currencies. Did you know that now you can buy gold, silver, and other precious metals with bitcoins? LRN.FM has partnered with Amaji Metals to bring you great prices on beautiful 0.999 fine silver, as well as gold, platinum, and other metals. Check out their selection and pay with bitcoins or Federal Reserve notes at metal.lrn.fm. That's metal. LRN.FM.
Here's a chance to do a little activism while you're cruising Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. Between the LOL cats, the recipes, the hot girls, and the inspirational sunrise memes, Free Talk Live's post pass by your newsfeed. Like them. Comment. It gives us more exposure. If you don't see our posts, click like at facebook.freetalklive.com and then hover over it to click get notifications. It's an easy way to spread the ideas of liberty a bit further. I know you're busy, but you can spare that tenth of a calorie it takes to click on something. Facebook.freetalklive.com.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com. When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, you may want to help expose others to our great programs. To assist you in doing so, you'll find resources at promote.lrn.fm, including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out and distribute, banners for your website, as well as files that will allow you to make your own custom banners and graphics. Visit promote.lrn.fm and help bring new listeners to the Liberty Radio Network. That's promote.lrn.fm.
Are you looking for an excuse to come check out New Hampshire this fall? You're invited to Keenvention. Keenvention is your chance to meet dozens of key liberty activists from across the Shire. You can explore the beautiful little city of Keene, discuss various forms of activism with seasoned veterans, do some Robin Hooding, and learn about making the move. Keenvention received rave reviews last year. If you missed it, visit keenvention.info for full video coverage of every speaker and panel. This year's keynote speeches and panels will be announced via the Keenvention blog and Facebook, so stay tuned there for the latest. Join old and new friends and neighbors in Keene for Keenvention this October 30th through November 1st. Tickets are available now at a special super early bird price of just $40 via credit card or Bitcoin. That $40 price only lasts through early March, so don't delay. Reserve your tickets now at keenvention.info. Visit keenvention.info for more and look for our page and event on Facebook. That's keenvention.info.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Be a good ambassador. That's the first thing. You know, if you're going to, you know, be a good, won't you be my neighbor? And no fear. You know, a lot of times it's intimidation. They make you feel intimidated. You know, they show you what for and who's boss and all that kind of stuff. So whenever you get an opportunity, you think you can get away with it, you want to put your chest out and strut your stuff and kind of whatever. And I encourage people to try to reduce the tension and fear of them with a joke, with a positive attitude, with a smile. And that was one point. Oh, I was on a Lauren show, O-Girl, you know, the Objectivist girl. So she does a podcast, and Don and I went up to her room just to, you know, Lauren and I did a quick thing. And it was, I have some pictures of it, but it was one thing that I noticed that I brought up is that, wow, libertarians and anarchists in particular, they all got really good teeth. You know, I've been around for a long time. I mean, there's, you know, it's just amazing to me that the smile is so important. You know, it's like, hi, you know, it's like, and not necessarily they got great teeth or not. I mean, it's just they show them and they're easy smile. People are happy. When you go to like that Republican or political events or something like that, or the Democrats are doing a rally for something, everybody's mad all the time. You know, we want it and we want it now. You know, when they could just turn the other way, walk off and go get it, whatever it is, you know. And so a positive attitude, a positive atmosphere in this movement is an attraction to a lot of people. They're just happier. When you start casting off all that worry, you know, when you if you stop being so paranoid, all those people stop following you. Well, they're probably still there, but I mean, you know, at least you don't notice them. And you bring them into the party. when there's, I'll go through frame by frame and just our experience. We didn't, I wasn't taking a lot of pictures. I'm like, nah, I'm on vacation, man. I'm, you know, we're chilling and just relaxing. And I was trying to finish up two books. One, God, it's like 15 hours or something on Audible. And it's just, it's going to, I'm a little more than halfway through, but I mean, damn, it'll take up your time. One was Abundance by Peter Diamandis, the guy that did Anasari X Prize. And I think he was writing it with someone else too. But it was just, look, there's so much that technology has provided us. It's given us a lot of time. Joby made that comment too. He's like, you know, time is, it's like, you know, can money buy you happiness? Well, money buys you time. You know, it gives you more time to do that, you know, and it kind of, it goes through some steps, you know, time gives you this and that, and then you're happier. So you're just looking to, you know, put yourself in a position to where you can free up your time and do what you want. So I'm just like, wow, you know, it's really that simple. And to get others to at least see what you see, you know, you got to live it by example. You got to be inspiring, you know, and that's what an Arco Poco, I think, was to a lot of people. They came down, even though, you know, Mexico may be a failed state, yay, and Acapulco is now way more Mexican. I mean, it is Mexican. That's their Riviera. That's their, you know, party. That's where they go to hang out and not so many damn, you know, gringo tourist kind of stuff. Now, of course, they welcome and very kind to us, and we had a good time. So you want to be good ambassadors, so you negotiate hard. I mean, oh, yes, 350 pesos. Right. You know, let's start at like, you know, 80, and we'll, you know, yeah, let's just do 8, you know, and you wind up, you know, 150 or something. So at least you're, you know, respected as not a moron, but you don't be a jerk about it. You know, you start walking away and then you find out what the real price is. And I'm getting, you know, Ferrari sunglasses for $6. I mean, you know, you should go down there and just, you know, buy all your trinkets and trash. And the first day or two, you know, we, from the beach vendors and going to the little shops on the street and so on, all the grandkids and kids and friends and everybody got their, you know, stuff, and for $100 we're good, you know? So how much of that do you list and declare? I mean, you know, seriously. But the, so I think it, you know, you're under, I don't know, $800 or something like that. You can pretty much do what you want anyway. So I really enjoy any time I go down to Mexico and do it, because I can communicate enough that I can probably, you know, get the right thing I ordered and find the bathroom. But the really, English is the second language around the world. So anytime you're willing to travel, you want to go someplace, especially if you're doing it in a group like this, you should feel comfortable. Where did you feel uncomfortable? Probably coming back to the United States, you know, going through the customs, and they're making a better effort now because it is so bad. You know, the way, you know, people are treated and the conditioning of having authority and you got your blue shirt on and whatever, that there's a lot of pressure for them to be kinder, you know, to keep it up, to be nice, to whatnot. You know, when you say, I want to, I'll just opt out. You can do the first guy. Opt out! Opt out! We got an opt out over here. So there was a time I'm going, wow, seriously? Okay. So I want to opt out, opt out. I want to opt out. And they kind of look at you. I'm going, yeah, you're going to be screaming anyway. I'll help you. You know, it's just tyranny thing. It's like, I'm not really, it's conditioning. We got to refuse to be conditioned. And when you can go to a place and spend time with people that have resisted the conditioning and position themselves in the space to be positive, and that's what you're seeing the whole movement distilled down to. As you get to Pork Fest and Liberty Forum that's going on this weekend, and the Freedom Summits and Libertopia and Anarcho Poco and all these, you can start to see a trend from the beginning in the early days of the Levolution in 07 and 08, where it was, wow, you can go stand out here with other people and openly and smoke dope. Oh, and they got petition to decriminalize, kind of, you know, freedom, you know, that kind of thing. To where these people, you know, that are there just to try to express themselves and just, you know, get the shackles, you know, off of them and take the yoke off their neck. And all of a sudden they start having children. They go into relationships. They start opening businesses. You know, the hippie got a job, you know. And when that happens, you know what happens? they start to see the benefit of community. They start to see the benefit of, you know, social norms and, you know, being decent and rules that they impose upon themselves. It always turns into some kind of form of government, though. I mean, then it goes bad. It always does. So we try and, you know, not be against government, just coercive government. Is there some, fine? You have a government. It's called families. It's called a hierarchy of social pecking order of whatever the heck. But, you know, it can it be non-coercive? Can it be conducted in your affairs with others in such a way that, you know, everybody benefits? You know, and the bad actors or the jerks, you know. Oh, I got a cough button. I have the other one under here and it wouldn't work. And I just keep, you know, everybody's like, God, you're always coughing on the air. And they're sending me, you know, moose hunting cough tubes and all kinds of crap. Just beat my heads. But, you know, this is in the industry. I always went, there were billions of dollars, saw it on eBay and got old box used. And I got it for like $20. I'm like, done. Done. I love eBay. See, that's the thing. You know, these kind of solutions. See, these kind of solutions are available just when you just allow. I'm amazed at, you know, things that used to take 5 and 10 years. You have some new piece of technology that come up. You see it. Heck, it's almost done already. You know, you're within a year, you know, 3 months to 3 years max on some big whatever. And there's so much coming. There's so much going to be available. And I'm just wondering to what extent they're going to be able to try and control humanity as a species, as the things that we want to do and can do. In the last segment here, I'll just start going through a lot of the photos. Maybe I'll wait till the next hour. Some more stuff I want to talk about. And it's just the move. I've been doing this a long time. And it's built up to a real power of love. I mean, just a big, giant missile arrow that's in your quiver of the best technique to combat all this stuff is love.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on MEME, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Refrigerated Cookie Dough. Who would you bake some love for? Find fun and easy baking ideas at tollhouse.com. Kids love doing arts and crafts projects, especially when you join in. Try channeling all that artistic energy into the kitchen and bake up some creative treats together. Think of your art supplies as the frosting, sprinkles, and decorating gels, and use cookies or cupcakes as your canvas. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Instead of just listening, you can also watch. See the Liberty Radio Network's Keene, New Hampshire-based live shows via our studio cam at cam.lrn.fm. Plus, you'll still be able to listen to the Liberty Radio Network via the cam feed in high quality 24/7, even when there's no live show being produced in our Keene studio. But wait, there's more. Our chat room is built into the cam page so you can interact with other listeners online. Listen, watch, and chat, all free at cam.lrn.fm. That's cam.lrn.fm.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
The three most important things you can do for LRN.FM are, one, let your friends know you're listening to LRN.FM on your social networking profile. Two, buy the things you buy online through shop.lrn.fm. Three, give $5 a month to the AMP program at amp.lrn.fm. You likely buy all kinds of things online. Amazon is the largest online retailer. You can get what you need at the same great prices, and LRN gets a cut. Please do your online shopping at shop.lrn.fm.
This is the Onion Week in Review. This week, mothers across the nation invented a new drug to worry about, confirming that the completely fictitious new substance was appearing in schoolyards across the nation and is easily created from simple household products like sugar, window cleaner, and petroleum jelly. Calling the totally made-up narcotic Scramp, mothers in desperate need of something to fret over deluded themselves into constantly agonizing over the widespread drug epidemic that exists solely in their minds.
My son sits in his room for hours and hours. It must be Scramp. He's a Scramp head. I bet they'll figure out how to Scramp with this, too.
In other news, a man confidently strides through a beaded curtain without parting it. A father takes a picture of his daughter every day from birth until he abandons his family. And the same homeless man is always begging for change on the same United flight. Stalled contract negotiations have prevented me from reviewing any more news until I receive a co-producer credit. But for more, visit theonion.com/newspeak.
I'm just going to do a few more lyrics.
You can watch the LRN Studio Cam and chat with other listeners anytime at cam.lrn.fm. That's cam.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Narcopoco is a good place to do it with friends. I'm going to go ahead and whip you through some pictures here, and you kind of get the idea, because it was just a really good time, and I want to express that. But the main thing that I'm really hoping that we all get out of it is there's a lot of opportunities for fear, and it just wasn't present. You know, until, you know, the last night, you know, there's a little bit of drama of, you know, somebody was spotted that, you know, kind of, yeah, this person is just doesn't, yeah, it just doesn't feel right. And they got overconfident. You know, I got, and if they weren't, they so deserve an apology. And I'm just kind of the mind that they shouldn't have been outed anyway. It was just, everybody should have known, yeah, you know, okay, that's probably the person, and that, you know, we just show them some love. The thing is that they are not able to get the whole truth because they already have it. In their minds, they already know. They're just looking for supporting evidence or a quote or a report or a text that they give. And after, you know, the individual was kind of, yeah, and then probably that one and that one. And kind of, you know, it was uncomfortable, and it shouldn't have, in my opinion. Because these are the people that, you know, make the decisions and pull the triggers and do the operations and out in the field. And I would like to have them, I don't know, feel guilty about being bad. Come over. The water's fine. So that's why, how I handle. I always assume everybody is good, or everybody is the man, or whatever. I just don't care. You know, I got 15 gazillion examples of this. They put them to work, and, you know, we do need some weights put in the attic. I mean, you know, hold the sign. You know, pass out. This entire building is yours to go distribute. You know, they always do a better job. They're first to show up and last to leave, and they always want to help you with your computer problems, you know. So it's not that hard. And when you have, you know, attractive young women coming, and all these rich, gorgeous people around, you just got to go, right. But you never know. I mean, people just want information. But Luke had been burned so many times, and they just make this stuff. So many people have gone to jail. So many people have been harassed. So many people have been. And I remember I got an idea in the 90s when you had a lot of anti-tax movements. You know, you don't. You know, Larkin Rose proving his point. You know, you keep saying no long enough, you wind up in jail. And try to destroy families. And I mean, it's just, it's terrible. But not really when you do it as an individual. unless you're a gazillionaire, and you know, they just don't care. It's not worth it. It's when you start teaching other people, when you start spreading this infection of the mind, when you start going, hey, you know, this you own yourself, and why are you doing the form and taxes really say and the legal and constitutional whatever? Man, oh, they're going to come after you. You're not allowed to inspire. When it comes to, you know, a group of people starting to extract themselves, you know, in their minds from your system, from your control grid, that's very dangerous. And they don't look, you know, kindly to that. The impression I got, this is what I, you know, it didn't really hit me until later. You go over, you know, the line of questioning and what people like, because a lot of people, you'd ask for, oh, what brought you into the movement? How did you, I mean, just as a common sense, how do you, oh, it was, you know, this happened and my friend that, and I got arrested for, and it just seemed unfair, and then, and Ron Paul. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Ron Paul going on. And Ron Paul did this, and during the campaign that, and I noticed I started checking out whatever, and Ron Paul. So a lot of people will try to diminish that. Well, that had nothing. It was just already ready to go. I go, yeah, but it needed an outlet. It needed a spark. It needed a consistent touchstone. It needed somebody that had been consistent over the year. That's what they look for, certainly the youth. As soon as they find, they go, yeah, well, just let me find the inconsistent. Yeah, just let me find, you know, what you said about it. Let me, you know, see if he can justify this position. Let me, you know, and you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Damn, this guy's pretty consistent. So even though you may be an issue that you disagree on, you know, the rationale and the logic that he used to get to it, you may go, okay, well, I understand that. At least, you know, I'm not a scumbag. When you're at Restore the Republic in Minneapolis, St. Paul, it was the 08 convention thing that they did when the RNC was having their meeting and Ron Paul had his own Restore the Republic thing. I'm going, it was very obvious to me that it was obvious to everybody that it was a culture shift. But they don't know how, those won't leave us alone. How do you influence that? What, they don't have enough stars of stage and screen taking their side? They don't get enough press coverage of, you know, the philanthropic efforts of, you know, the most wealthy individuals, how we all got a something, get your vaccination? You know, so I'm just, it's a culture war, and I don't think they understand it until you start getting in the conversation. And this is, from my perspective, you know, what the only thing that really made me uncomfortable. I've always been, you know, like when we did the Levolution thing, it was a year or so before anybody even knew that I did that. It was Brian Doherty out in me in Reason Magazine that became common knowledge. And it was the only time I'd really use it was just to, you know, go and show people how to make signs, not what to make. You know, it's just to express themselves. Because I knew the power of people once they got over the, I mean, I saw fear. Fear is the mind killer. When it, to go and put up a freaking simple sign that just had the word Levolution in it up on a chain link over a highway, when they know the power of that, how it affected them when they saw their first one, and that they learned how to do it, and they're going to go out and they're going to put it up, and they're going to stop their car on the side of the freeway or on a access road and climb over a fence or through one or do whatever and put it up for everybody to see. They were fearful. Where's your government permit? A lot of people say that. Well, you got a permit for that? You know, a lot of times the youth, they were just like, I don't need no stinking permit. They just wanted to make the signs. But who's going to put it up? We went to Vegas, and I had to bring up, God, it was probably five people that broke up into different five groups after we had made a bunch of signs at somebody's home, you know, in their dryer. Okay, let's go put them up. Well, I got something to do. So it took somebody to go with them the first time just to walk out there and do it. I mean, oftentimes you have officers go by, don't care. Police, you know, yeah, whatever. Hire a patrolman, stop. Oh, we just want to make sure you're okay. I mean, a lot. It's just, it wasn't as bad as you know. Sometimes they'll, you know, say, oh, you can't and this, that. But it was, you know, don't sit there and fight with them. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then go somewhere else and do it. I mean, you know, it was amazing to see the fear drain out. And they spent decades, generations, and trillions of dollars in propaganda, mandatory youth indoctrination camps, aka the government schools, you know, military indoctrination, propaganda. I mean, it was amazing how much they did to instill and put as a default position all this fear that could just go away by putting up a sign. That is the power. And that is what we're going to use. That's what gives us an edge, and how are they going to combat that? Well, they have to have targets. They have to have examples. They have to have you're not allowed in this guy, and if you do this, in jail. So can they arrest enough of us? Well, there was a concentration of a lot of the people they wanted to definitely, you know, rather not be there. And you have criminal defense attorney Mark J. Victor, which would have been great. I was really looking forward to him being down there and kind of, you know, don't say stupid this. Let me tell you a story about that. And this is how they, you know, whatever. He's been through a lot of them. He and I work on a lot. I mean, damn, there's stuff going on now. But all of a sudden, his flight was canceled. Just canceled. Right as he's on the way to the airport, canceled. And there was no connecting. He couldn't rebook. There was just no way for him to get there in time to find screw it. He went to California, met with his sister, did something else. Then, you know, Cody Wilson, the ghost gunner guy, because what does he do? He goes, hey, 3D printing. You know, it means, yeah, you can print a gun. And right now he has a Wired magazine on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now. What do we have? Is it $15,000 or $16,000? That he's offering a bounty on a $6,000 3D carbon fiber printing 3D printer that he wants, that Mark Forge. I know these guys. I went up and, you know, we talked to him, had him on. I don't know if we had him on the show yet. Maybe we did. It was the Consumer Electronics Show. It carbon prints and you get really strong and make sure the pressure's of a better 3D printed gun. Well, I go, nope, we're not shipping it to you. Refunded his money. Can't. He goes, really? We're going to play this? Is this how you want to play? Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm putting a bounty out for 2.5 times what the thing is worth. Somebody shows up with this printer, you buy it, you bring it here, you made yourself, you know, $7,000 to $8,000. Done. Is that how you want to play this game? Is that how you want to play this game? Let's play. Sooner or later, they're going to take it too far. Then what does he do? A ghost gunner. Aluminum block into a receiver for an AR-15. So what does the government come out and do? Try and ban the ammunition. It's a battle up here. And I think our biggest weapon is just to love and relax and include the police in the movement.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together with others who think like you? Liberty activists are joining the Free State Project, which is over 70% of the way to its goal of 20,000 participants. And they're already making the move to New Hampshire. The successes are piling up and are proving the Free State Project is a real movement and no longer just a great idea. When you're planning your move, consider Keene. Keene is famous for its civil disobedience and non-cooperation, and there's plenty of political opportunity as well. From demonstrations and vigils to outreach and volunteering, there's a lot going on in Keene. Keene is the Liberty Media capital of the world, with television, talk radio, and more, all originating here. Though it's more than just activism, with regular social events each week. See what's happening at freekeene.com and get connected with video, audio, free books, a forum, and activist tools you can download and use in your area at freekeene.com. That's freekeene.com.
Did you know you can get news updates about what's happening with the Liberty Radio Network delivered in the way you prefer? You can sign up for our email updates at updates.lrn.fm. Plus, you can stay in the loop by joining our Facebook profile at facebook.lrn.fm or follow us at Twitter at twitter.lrn.fm. It's all free. So sign up now at updates.lrn.fm for news updates delivered to your email box, facebook.lrn.fm to follow our Facebook page, and twitter.lrn.fm to receive our tweets.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor Mark Warden. Do you want a home with 20 acres, a lakeside cabin, any takers for renters, buyers, and sellers too? Mark Warden is the guy for you. PorcupineRealEstate.com.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Darrell W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. Silver is trading at $16.32 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,206 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $281. Antiwar.com reports Afghanistan's National Army has long struggled with making its recruitment numbers match its desertions as their role in combat escalates. A newly classified Pentagon report shows they're losing ground. The latest report showed troops fell from February of 2014 through November by about 8.5%, cutting over 15,000 troops from the bottom line figure over the 10-month span. The desertion problem is a long-standing one, with many Afghans signing up for the military, sticking around long enough to get their first paycheck, then bailing, and often taking their weapon with them as a sort of severance package. As casualties among Afghan forces rise, the urge to desert grows all the stronger, and with the Afghan military already recruiting as hard as they possibly can in a nation of about 30 million people, they're just not able to keep up anymore. This presents a secondary problem as Afghan forces try to prove themselves against the Taliban, as even if they manage to show they can sort of hold their own now, a shrinking force means capabilities will likely be decreasing over time. For over 35 years, Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co. UPI reports Alabama's Supreme Court on Tuesday ordered probate judges to stop handing out same-sex marriage licenses. The ruling came about in reaction to cases brought by the Alabama Policy Institute and Alabama Citizens Action Program, which asked for a clear judicial pronouncement that Alabama law prohibits the issuance of marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The Supreme Court cited Alabama legal code, which states that marriage is inherently a unique relationship between a man and a woman, and no marriage license shall be issued in the state of Alabama to two parties of the same sex. Alabama's ban on same-sex marriages was overturned as unconstitutional by U.S. District Court Judge Jenny Granad on January 23rd. Roy Moore, the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, called the ruling tyranny and told probate judges not to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Granad in February ordered a Mobile County probate judge who defied her earlier order to issue the marriage license. David Kennedy, who represented the couple who filed lawsuits challenging Alabama's ban, told AL.com Tuesday's ruling would not survive a challenge in federal court. ExpressCoin is the best choice for buying Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dogecoin, and more. ExpressCoin prides themselves on their customer service. Get your cryptocurrencies with money order, check, wire transfer, or cash deposit. Get started at expresscoin.fppradio.com. That's expresscoin.fppradio.com. Reuters reports a Russian lawyer for Edward Snowden said on Tuesday the former NSA contractor who leaked details of the government's mass surveillance programs was working with American and German lawyers to return home. In Washington, U.S. officials said they would welcome Snowden's return to the United States, but he would have to face criminal charges, which have been filed against him. Snowden's lawyer, Anatoly Kucherina, who has links to the Kremlin, was speaking at a news conference to present a book he has written about his client. Moscow granted Snowden asylum in 2013, straining already tense ties with Washington. Kucherina said, "I won't keep it secret that he wants to return back home, and we are doing everything possible now to solve this issue. There is a group of U.S. lawyers, there is also a group of German lawyers, and I'm dealing with it on the Russian side." The United States wants Snowden to stand trial for leaking extensive secrets of electronic surveillance programs by the NSA. Russia has repeatedly refused to extradite him. Snowden has said in the past he would like to come home if he was assured he would be given a fair trial. U.S. Justice Department spokesman Mark Raimondo told Reuters the U.S. position is that Snowden is not a whistleblower. Raimondo added that Snowden is accused of leaking classified information, and the U.S. position is that his actions have inflicted serious harm on national security. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Friends of local man Carl Brewster told reporters this week they are all absolutely at a loss as to how he is not completely depressed.
"I've known Carl for years now, and he really is a great guy, you know, super nice. But honestly, I don't know how he doesn't go home and cry himself to sleep every night. I mean, walks dogs for a living, and no one will ever date him. I really don't get it.
saying that they were baffled at how their close friend managed to remain even moderately happy day in and day out given his life circumstances. Sources confirmed they were regularly confronted with Carl's perplexingly gregarious and affable demeanor.
I mean, Carl's life really, really sucks, but somehow he manages to wave good morning to me every time I see him, and he always has this big smile on his face. Maybe he's on some kind of medication.
Things have always been really awful for Carl, but he's never really been depressed. I mean, I make 3 times as much money as him, and I'm totally miserable. Honestly, we all thought he would have killed himself by now. But he hasn't.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. A from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, starting to get my voice back. We're going to go ahead and go over the pictures, give you an idea of Anarchapoca. I wanted to take the first hour to just kind of express my emotion on this. It was a great conference, a lot of good information there, a lot of good people getting to just hang and make new friends. And it was easy to make new friends, and a lot of people were. And as you're asking and talking and how they had their walk and so on, a lot of times some people are just a block that they didn't. Everybody has a story, and for anyone that's been around a long time, you kind of know there's so many progressions, but your first Liberty event probably isn't going to be a Anarchapoca. I mean, you're going to, hey, you know what? I feel a liberty thing going on. Let's go to, you know, a country that's in unrest, you know, that's got, a failed state, a cartel kind of working narco, whatever. And it's just a bunch of anarchists on the beach. And we're just going to, let's go do that, honey. You know, and I'm going, yeah, probably not, you know. And then, so that's kind of the first clue. And then they start talking about taxes, you know, you always want to do that. And then the biggest thing that I could really got the feel, it's like, you know, whatever. And here's a list of people and things to talk about, find out about, and go and get. And I really got the impression that they, them, those, somebody is very concerned about a bunch of poor young libertarians that were able to change the world with their support of Dr. Paul during the 08 campaign. 07, 08, totally blindsided. They, them, those, for the first time in human history that you had the actual money became a main issue. The Federal Reserve in the Fed, or just, you know, even better, they go, well, they're never going to end it. Yeah, but you can't make us use it. We can ignore it. Here comes Bitcoin. So now you're going into the 2016 election cycle. They know that the economy is going to do another 08 thing, you know, any freaking day. Right now, you know, gold, is, you know, right at 1,200. It's going to tap into, you know, once it hits, you know, 1,999, you know, it broke through the 1,200 thing and now be like bad, you know, for some people. Then you have silver is about ready to go into the $15 something again range. You have Bitcoin, you know, shot up, you know, what, $50, $60, $70 in just this week. So it's just there's something happening. And the concern I would think if I was rulers of the world, and I go, wow, here's a concentration of people that are openly defying the man. You got Cody Wilson's, and yet, you know, criminal defense attorneys that are making big hay and all over the TV and everything. And, you know, Mark J. Victor, you have Bitcoin Jesus, you have Roger Ver that, you know, said, no, I'm good. I gave up my U.S. citizenship and I'm over here now. And they won't let him in. So how are they even going to see him? He's going to Anarchapoca. You know what? We're going to send us some agents. We're going to send us a battalion. So I'm going, yeah, there are so many reasons for to want to get a feel. But it's not to find out what's really going on. That doesn't interest them. They just already got a predetermined concept idea, and they just want supporting evidence of who needs to be whatever. And I could tell because of, you know, some people, but I mean, certainly, you know, there were some people that really wanted to know what the hell happens when you have all of these hardcore anarchists, voluntarists, libertarians with a boatload of Bitcoin money. They have hundreds of millions of dollars amongst them. That represent, you know, when you got your Bilderberger meeting of whatever the heck, well, man, this was the Bilderberger guys. You know, how are we going to free the planet? And they talked about it. We're going to use this application. We're going to get off of government in our minds this way. We're going to do this kind of stuff. We're going to encourage and inspire that. And Generation Next is already in the distributed internet of the mesh network of the smartphone, satellite, bite me kind of whatever. And that's, you know, what I was kind of, you know, trying to instill in them is, look, man, you know, well, they're going to do net neutrality in 2.0 and the FCC and, you know, Justin Friday and the guy I'm going, and outer net with CubeSat that cost nothing. A whole constellation of 30 just got put out and they've already done it and it turned on August 11th. Now what? Free your mind and bring they, them, those with you. I mean, a lot of these young officers and cops and FBI agents, they got involved thinking they were doing right. How many people do you know that has joined the military going to, you know, defend America and get a college education? Then they get in and find out the real truth. So our biggest support is, you know, probably a lot of time it's Snowden. Now he's like, I'll come back, America. Give me a fair trial. Give an open trial. Get due discovery. Let's go ahead and find. No, a lynching be, you know, what you're going to get. They also, is it, we're waiting like with President Ford after the resignation of President Nixon that he granted amnesty to all of the draft dodgers of the Vietnam War. Now we can heal. All right, everybody can come back down. Will that happen? Sooner or later, but it won't be that they do it for any other reason other than they, them, those thinks it's in their best interest. You know, they'll give up somewhere just to maintain that, well, we still got this government, we're in charge of it, you know. So these are the kind of things I see so much coming that's so bright, and a lot of these people are going to be at the front or certainly able to tell the story, or telling their story, you'll understand how the whole planet transitioned and the whole planet is inspired by this. And in the Western Hemisphere, out of a narco poco, these people are looking and moving all over Central and South America, and they're just good neighbors. What happens? It's an infection. How do you stop it? I don't think you can. Certainly shouldn't, you know. So let's go ahead and go through our trip, and it'll spark some stuff. And Donna's going to sit in and you know, say hello. And which mic are you on? Is that you?
Three.
No. Okay, go. Nope. See, it was on two.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Mislabeled.
All right. Well, I changed the cables because it was being a pain in the butt earlier. All right. So let's go ahead and go to here. Now, the only reason I took this picture, it was interesting. At the airport, there's an angle that goes down, and they didn't want to waste area, so there's on each side of this walkway, it's at probably a 20-degree angle. Then instead of trying to level it, they just put the whole store is at an angle. So I just thought that was interesting. You know, I'm going, yeah, I'd hate to work there, man. We get to Acapulco, and this is what the beach was like. It's very coarse sand that's kind of like
Hey, Ernie.
Yeah.
Before you go any further, you got to put the pictures up on the show.
Well, I thought I was doing that. There it goes.
There
okay.
Go.
All right. So we'll go back. And that's what I was talking about, the thing. Okay, so we have the beach, and the sand is like river wash sand. You know, if you're in the Southwest, you can do that. But it you just shake a little bit like a dog, and it all falls off, you know, unless you got, you know, 6 inches of oil on you from the masseuse. And then, so here's Donna. You know, we get there, we sort of walk down to the beach and take a couple of pictures, and it is nice. Acapulco, it was a nice beach. The water was perfect temperature. It was kind of, you know, warm but not hot, you know, like some Caribbean places, man, it's just freaking hot tub. And so this was really nice, and the water was, you know, pretty clean, you know, more than, you know, like better than San Diego. I mean, you know, so it was just, it was pleasant. Then we're just taking some pictures, and this is the view that we get. Now, this harbor that Acapulco is, you can see that I was amazed that there weren't more cruise ships or a dock or, you know, freight. And I'm sure there's other areas for that, you know. So this just kind of gives you an idea of the beach. But we went shopping, and everything, a bunch of these little Beetlebug, you know, Volkswagen Beetle taxis and so on. Now, and there I am. I had to get me a hat, sunglasses, and new sandals. I mean, I got a couple of shirts and stuff, but I went down there without a hat, knowing I was going to get me one. Well, there it is. You know, we'll go ahead and start whipping through the pictures when we come back and see what Donna has to say.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Liberty activists around the country are starting to realize politics alone won't set us free. So what will? At Liberty on the Rocks, we believe the answer starts with living your principles, spreading ideas, and connecting with those around you. By starting a Liberty on the Rocks network, you can make a difference by uniting libertarian thinkers. Find out how much fun it is to build your local network from the ground up. Visit libertyontherocks.org today to get started.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm.
The warning signs.
At first, he made me feel special. He promised he'd look after me, provide for my future. He broke every promise he made.
Millions of Americans afflicted.
I was ready to leave, but he told me he'd change. So I gave him another chance. I was such a fool.
The consequences.
Things only got worse. He started making my decisions for me about my job, my kids' education, my money. My safety, my future. He took away my choices, but I kept going back to the same politicians.
The diagnosis? Battered voter syndrome.
I fell for the same old lies. They were just playing with my emotions, telling me what I wanted to hear. That's not right.
Stop the insanity of voting for the same old abusers. Declare your independence from the two-party system and join the New Hampshire Liberty Party today. At nhliberty.info.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800.
1-866-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
You know, peaceful, easy feeling. You know, we're trying to get it back to that. I'm just, the only disappointment I had is that that fear is the mind killer. You know, I can just, whenever you go to these events, that's one of the biggest benefits that people experience. And I encourage people to go to things like Porkfest and Libertopia because it's the weight is taken off of you. I feel it right here above my pecs, you know, and my shoulders. It's just kind of a chest thing. You know, I need to get this off my chest. And I'm wondering, that phrase starts to make, you know, more sense to me as you feel better and you know, you're more active and you nutrition and massage, whatever. I mean, you kind of, you get healthier, your mind clears, you do your bulletproof coffee, you know, that kind of stuff. And you go, but I feel it could be in your head, a tension, you know, of your neck muscles, your head muscles, your face muscles. But when you're happy and you smile a lot, you know, a lot of that kind of goes away, or you just get pain from laughing too much. I mean, you know, that can happen. But, you know, the big thing is it's get it off my chest. I mean, it's not until like just now that I even kind of understood what that meant. You know, yesterday I come back and I was looking forward to talking to you about it. I just want to get it off my chest. There's a pressure. And our bodies manifest a lot of these things in such a way that it affects our health, it affects the way we relate with people, and it's just get it off our chest. And it's one thing that I've been able to keep, but God, Ernie, how do you keep the, you know, power up? Damn, it's early, isn't it? I mean, and it's because it's healthier. You know, I always told everything I knew when I knew it to everybody, and it, you know, started off as emails and kind of, hey, I don't want to be the only one that knows this, man. You know, everybody knows, yeah, you got to take out 5,000 of my closest friends. Well, now it's 5 million, you know, or 5 billion. So I really encourage you to go to these, go to a meetup, and that's when you talk to these people, oh, well, what meetups did you go to? Who'd you contact? Did you come in through the Libertarian Party? Did you go to a meetup? Have you, you know, done some kind of, you know, something? You know, well, my first thing was Narcopoco. Right. You know, well, I guess it might be for some. We'll see. So we went shopping. This is, you know, cool. You got to, you know, the first thing, probably you're paying, you look like definite gringo, man. I mean, is that a tourist or what? I mean, might as well just had, you know, plaid shorts on, you know, and white socks with, you know, loafers. But almost that bad. But, it was good negotiating, having fun. And once you find someone that wants to help you, they're, you know, they want to get all your money, so they're going to, you know, walk you through all their goodies. The best time of the day is when the sun was lower in the sky, you know, from, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on, you know, the sun wasn't as radioactive, you know, on the sand. So you had a good time, and you find some shade, and they come over and make sure, how many pina coladas do you need? The drinks were about, I don't know, $7-$8, you know, six, around there. And it's in pesos. So it's a 13-15 to 1 ratio. So for, you know, 100 pesos is worth $15. So if you just kind of think about that, that'll be 100 pesos. Well, you know, that's like $15. So I'm going, okay. So, you know, you kind of convert it that way. You know, the pool area was really nice. The beach, the surf, you could hear, and it was really cool. And this was the party Sunday night, and a lot of the people just sitting around. And, you know, this is late. You know, this is 2 in the morning or something. And the parties went late. I mean, just conversation, high-end conversation. And you definitely, you the man, you want to get in on these conversations. And it wasn't what you could tell because they keep bringing up, yeah, well, what about Rand Paul? You know, what about Rand? Are you guys, all these libertarians, a bunch of money, Bitcoin, and everything, you know, take over politics? Right? We don't waste our time on politics. You know, it's a culture thing. It's just a manifestation of. And a lot of people were like, nah, just, you know, no. Well, you, Ron, what's the difference? And he could really win. And, you know, this time, once more into the breach. And it's just, nah, we're good. You know, what does that have to do with politics here in Mexico? Or you go into other places in Europe or around the world. It's just, it's a generation next thing. Now, the one thing in a Copacabana, at the Copacabana. I was playing on in the elevator the whole time. Oh, my God. But it was all the hotels were white. Maybe some had a little trim of blue. The Copacabana was the only one that was Bitcoin orange. Had like a stripe across, you know, the top and down the middle facing the beach there. It was the Bitcoin hotel. So I'm going, wow, is that what attracted Jeff to them? Go talk to them. And it was they had a deal. It was like $85, $89 a night. And so it wasn't bad. I mean, the others, I'm sure, very expensive. And they had a package that for each person, it'd be $150 a night, and you get three meals, you know, all the meals included. I go, let's go see what the meals that we got. And no, it was like Golden Corral kind of thing. So we're going, no. We'll go ahead and just pick the locals. And I came back, you know, same weight or lighter than when I went down. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, we must have been active. They had a lot of, you know, parasailing in the boats. They didn't have sailboat. I was looking forward to doing a sailboat, and if they didn't have that, I wasn't interested. So this is just, you find some shade. And the one thing is that the coverings, the awnings that they had on the beach belonged to the hotel. But nearer the beach, the umbrellas and the chairs and so on that they had there were owned and operated by individuals. And you better be ordering some drinks or they get a cut, or it's a, you know, 100 pesos to sit here for a couple hours or whatever. So we're just like, yeah, cool. You know, we do that. And then you always had the, you know, the girls coming by. And a lot of time there were women. You know, sometimes they're, you know, 40, 50-year-old women. But there was this one woman, man, she 5-minute free massage. Free massage, you see 5 minutes. And I'm going, okay, well, they go, ooh, that felt good. And there was one woman, I mean, everybody was kind of, you know, me and Donna, and I go, yeah, just, you'll see why, just really had some skills. So there's a lot of massaging going on, and it wasn't too expensive. So, you know, for $20, you get an hour or something. It was, about $25 or something. So it was worth it. Once some of the guys found out you could do that, boom, they're down there. You know, here's Donna sitting on the beach looking hot, you know, coming out. You know, it's like James Bond, Halle Berry coming out of the surf. Donna, I'm like, ooh, go take a picture of that. You know, so she's looking good. And there's me the whole time. I was just listening to a book. And I'm just, you know, sitting there, you know, just with a hat over my face and nobody bothered me. So, and I'd keep moving the sand piles around to make sure I stayed in the shade. And that was it. And, you know, Luke was having it nice. I mean, all the attractive girls all over the place, and he's right in the middle and having a good time. Luke's always good to hang out with. They went for a walk on the beach. Donna took some of these pictures, you know, going around the bay there. And that's us in the distance, you know, if you across the bay where they were, the picture, that's where the hotel we were. Tatiana and Donna in the surf. Some of the guys, you know, hanging out. The sun goes down. Good conversation. It was very peaceful. But all this time, there's a conference going on, too. So there was, you know, some things that were interesting we wanted to talk. Now, the Acapulco cliff diving, that was scary. It seemed like it was low tide. They had to wait for a wave to come in, give them enough water, kind of build up in that little inlet, you know, and jump now or you'll die. And we just saw four divers, and it was one that went, and then they all waited, and they finally just go, man, three of them jumped at one time because the wind was blowing in. We thought somebody might get hurt. We were like, look, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's all good. But they did it anyway, and that was very entertaining. And then we're just partying, relaxing, lots of opportunity. Oh, James Corbett came too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a picture of James. Oh, and the video of the work there. I got to show you this.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do. I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here. And I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The three most important things you can do for LRN.FM are, 1, let your friends know you're listening to LRN.FM on your social networking profile. 2, buy the things you buy online through shop.LRN.FM. 3, give $5 a month to the AMP program at amp.LRN.FM. It's my firm belief that the AMP program is the best use of your charitable dollar among liberty-oriented groups. Support all your favorite organizations, but make sure you give $5 a month to the AMP program at amp.LRN.FM.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, I'm just going to get right back to this. Donna, you know, the one thing that she did, you know, she goes, hey, you know, look at this. And it was, you know, them doing the construction. They were clearing at the Acapulco Cliff Divers. There was an area that they needed to eliminate a lot of the loose soil and get down to the bedrock of the mountain there or whatever. They put in more of an amphitheater and give better view and expand, you know, the viewing of the cliff divers and so on. But it was the way they were doing it. And I'm sure it worked, you know, when they were up closer, but it got to the point where they're throwing this bucket down. I'm gonna show this to you so you can see what was going on. It's when labor is cheap, you know, efficiencies go out the window. And what they were doing is they throw down this bucket that was probably about a circle, about 3 feet across and 3 feet deep, and they would fill it. Three guys would get down there and they'd just fill this bucket. Well, once they filled the bucket, then they pull it back up. And this is like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning or something. We were there leaving the cliff diving place, which had music and so on. And when you're in Acapulco, you go dancing with your wife. And you have the opportunity to dance there, and we were partying. It was just a really good time. Now, once they filled the bucket, then they pull it up. Now, watch this. You know, they would fill that bucket every time, and about half of the dirt would come out every time. And we're sitting there watching this, laughing, and they're laughing with us. They don't go, hey, man, we get paid by the bucket or whatever. They knew why we were, you know, enjoying it. We're just, yeah, whatever, man, you get paid. It, you know, they don't care. But why don't they this and why don't they that? Well, because labor's cheap. You might have a, I don't know, a conveyor of another clothes. I'd put a lid on the bucket. I definitely would have done that. That'd been an easy thing to do or to something. But so they go up and they stage it at a platform, an area up on the mountain, and then they, you know, hand dug it again into a cart that they took out of sight up a ramp, and that's how they removed the dirt. And it was, we sat there for, you know, a half hour or more just sitting there watching them do this. Some of the other videos, I do, Rob Hussle, a rapper, came and he did a concert. It's like, good cops, where you at, where you at, you know? You need a good cop. Where are they at? Where are they at? So this is Nima Vadavi was performing too, did a great job. Rob Hussle is certainly one of the crowd. He was up there doing, just calling everybody up. Yeah, we're all partying. It was. They also did an impromptu rap session. Jeff Berwick did some rapping too. It was awesome. A lot of people had a really good time. And that was the vibe that you would get. And then... you know, there's a little bit here that you can see Jeff's wife. Let me go ahead and see this, because this is the first time that I got to meet her. A beautiful Spanish woman down there, Mexican, that is just her and her kids came up, and he's talking about, he got emotional that he was trying to make sure that he had lived in a world to where his kids did not know violence, government violence, and that they're just trying, and there she is right there, you know, so she was having a good time too. It was really awesome. I enjoyed this trip. And there, but then he did, you know, everybody was participating in, that was Where They At, and then it was kind of ended with this is what happens when you call the cops. This is what happens when you call the cops. You get your rights violated or you all get shot. Sick of people being victimized by criminal cops. Psychopathic predators terrorizing neighborhood blocks. Equipped with pepper spray, mace, cuffs, tasers, and blocks. They're like serial killers acting out subliminal thoughts. Forget what you taught. These cops have got a license to kill. Witness intimidation means that they can use it at will. Code of silence means that the people never let out. And I'm sure there's so many people with cameras doing this. You can probably just go to Narco Poco Rob Hussle, and I'm sure it'll pop up. So I'm glad that I got, you know, some video of this just to show how much fun everybody was having and participating and even singing. So this is, you know, this is kind of the atmosphere that people were in. And then, of course, you had the presentations, and you wanted to make sure that, you know, that was... I want to ask Donna, you know, Donna, what was your impression of the whole event? I mean, just kind of give the people, it was a week that we were gone. You know, I'm just, what do you think?
It was very interesting. All the people were very friendly. A lot of times when you go to conferences, you have cliques of people standing over here or there, and they don't really mix. But I found just about everybody I was doing it with people, everybody was doing it to me, just coming up and saying, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? How'd you find out about the event? And, you know, what do you want to take home and learn from it? So, I mean, I met a lot of new people. I also met people that I had... you know, that as a producer, I get them on the show and stuff, but I never really get a chance to talk to them like you do. So I got to meet those people like Julia Turiansky, and I got to actually meet, I said hello to Luke. I didn't really talk to him too much because he was always busy, but just a lot of different people. And so it was a lot of fun for me. The atmosphere was very positive and very friendly.
And this picture is at the Acapulco diving. What we're showing is a picture of an old 1920s. You know, 30s of a limelight. I mean, it's actually an arc projector that where they would show film. You know, the light is a little bit of electricity and lime. It creates an arc. That's what they mean in the limelight. You know, it's a you create this enormously bright arc that you reflect with a mirror and so on. And this is just an old machine. I mean, it was just getting all rusty and everything, cast iron. This is like back in the day. And so Donna and what was that girl's name with the tattoos on her arm?
Well, she goes by Molly, but I don't think that's her real name.
Well, Molly, she had, you know, and this is the kind of thing that you talk to people and you ask them about, you know, how they came. And she had her whole life tattooed on her arm. She's sending us a bunch of JPEGs of her arm and walking us through her socialist tendencies and different things. It was all about just wanting to do the right thing and feed people. And it was in a progression to anarchism. I thought this decade of activity that she documented on her arm and the passions that she had, it's a fascinating story. And I really look forward to doing that. It'll be at least a 2-hour thing. Now, this is Lauren, and I forgot the tall blonde's name. Do you remember?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I apologize. You know, she was really nice and everybody was just having a good time. And this was one of the clubs that we were all dancing. I probably have other pictures here. Now, this is on the street. I'm showing a picture, just traffic and sidewalk. And you'll see, you know, some guys in uniform in the background. And this is a little bit closer. And what it was is like an open Jeep that they have two guys up there and they got a 50 cal. And I'm not even sure they had the actual gun on, but they had, you know, where you could throw a gun up there and it had the ammo can thing, like a, you know, Rat Patrol, you know, World War II Jeep thing. But it was, the people were glad to see the federal police. Policia Federal. And it was because the local police were so corrupt that a federal presence, they felt better. And, you know, you see the news here on Freedom Fail, all the, you know, beatings and, you know, you need a good cop. Where are you at? Where are you at when you need, you know? So you're going, was it the federal police is the good cop? You know, well, maybe not. This is what happens when you call a cop. So the attitude is the people there that live there know they're under the one common word that they used a lot was corruption. It permeates the area. And it's always a shakedown for something. Well, if you got a little bit of money, 20 bucks here, 20 bucks there, get you out. But that's a lot of money to people impoverished. I mean, it was just, so they didn't have a lot of fun to talk about their government. But, you know, they were happy people, I guess. I did, when you talked to the taxi cab drivers, they were under pressure. You could feel on their chest, you know, this pressure. And then, you know, here's some of the presentations, and there was a media thing as, it was Jeff Berwick emceed it. And it was Angel Clark, Mark Edge from Free Talk Live, and myself and Julia Turiansky, and Brave the World. And so it was just, you know, talking about media, you know. So we had a lot. And then I gave my presentation, you know, real quick. And a gentleman from Sidekick talking about an app. You always got a lawyer with you. You know, and then this was the Ross Ulbricht trial. A couple of people that were there, they were talking about that. There's Roger Ver, gave his presentation, you know, and he and I say, you know, what's up? Nima Vadavi. Nima has his bushy hair. He's going to do his rap performance that night. He did, probably 8 songs or so, and he's getting his hair braided, you know, and it looked good. Oh, I love that picture right there. Yeah, you got to see him. He's so sly. And then I'll show you the result when we come back.
How many lawyers does it take to change a light bulb? None. They'd rather keep their clients in the dark. There are too many lawyer jokes to count. However, there are some lawyers with more noble intentions. At the Institute for Justice, we bring the light to our clients. We are a nonprofit public interest law firm with clear values and principles. At IJ, we fight for those whose most basic rights are denied by the government. Visit our website today at ij.org.
I love My Magic Mud. I drink a lot of coffee. I had stains on my teeth. Then I found My Magic Mud, and I was told it would remove stains. So I paid attention when I brushed the first time. My Magic Mud is black tooth powder, and the difference it made in my teeth in one application was noticeable. With 4, my teeth were as white as you normal folks out there. Please go to MyMagicMud.com and buy a jar. There's 150 applications for $25. You can use Bitcoin. MyMagicMud.com.
Never, ever send a follow-up email asking, "Did you get my email?" Email 101, if it didn't bounce back undeliverable, it got where you sent it. And avoid transmedia pestering, like calling to ask, "Did you get my email?" or emailing to say, "I left you a voicemail." If your emails and voicemails aren't being acknowledged, your problem isn't technology, it's technique. Is your message concise and understandable? Have you boiled it down to seem as relevant as possible to the recipient? In other words, is it the opposite of spam or junk mail? All of this really matters if you're a job seeker. But even if you're not, with money and attention so scarce now, effective communication skills have never been more important. For more tips, hit survivalspeech.com. I'm Holland Cook.
Gabino lives in Palcapata, Peru. He buys old appliances like irons, radios, and TV sets, fixes them up, and resells them. He saw an opportunity to expand his business and needed a loan to buy more appliances. Free Talk Live helped him get a loan, and the expansion was a success. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound to try out the subscription. Cancel anytime. coffee.freetalklive.com.
If you can't listen to the Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone. 213-493-0309. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked into our stream 24 hours a day. Call 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Mr. Michael Dean, and this is my show, Freedom Fiends.
I love that.
I hope you like it. If you don't, I don't really care. I don't make it for the masses. I make it for the cool weirdos who are up late at night. Insomniacs, swing shift workers, the homeless.
Yeah. People in other countries.
People in other countries who are at their day job that's 9 to 5. Good point. Good point. the unemployed, the underemployed. The worried.
Okay, y'all. Now, if y'all are feeling a little worried tonight and you've got a hamster running around in your brain, we have a solution for you. Just put your hands on your computer or your telephone, and the spirit of the fiends is going to come rushing right through, and it's going to heal you.
Listen on LRN.FM Monday through Friday, midnight to 2 a.m. U.S. Central Time, and weekends, noon to 2 p.m. U.S. Central Time.
Do you love Twitter? Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're back, and I want to show you this. Nima Vadavi. This is him on the beach getting his hair break horn row, whatever the heck. And I love that picture of Nima. I got to send that to him. Donna, make sure you, where is Donna? Make sure you send this to Nima. That is awesome. And then once he got it done, this is how he did his performance. The problem was, is usually when he has long hair, he likes shaking his head, you know, twisting it back and forth and so on. Well, the little beads and so on there at the end of his hair was thunking him in the eye. You know, so he's like, wow, this doesn't work. I did not take that. We got to snip some of these, you know, keep to where he's not, you know, going blind from, you know, up there rapping. So that was fun. That was a little aside. Then there was a performer from Australia. She told her story. I apologize. I wish I had the list here. I don't want to give her name wrong. Do you remember her name? I'm sorry.
Alisa Hawk.
Okay, Alisa Hawk. Alisa, she was woken up by a false flag in Australia that they did for gun control. They were, you know, she didn't, you know, have any appendant care or whatever, and all of a sudden it was a retired police officer who was telling, you know, this is not true what you think is going on. And it was someone, an individual, he, you know, went in and shot up a bunch of people and killed, and what, it's just, you know, Sandy Hook kind of thing. So this is, there's always blowback. There's always, you know, people are going, nah, this is no. And she saw what happened to Australia using these kinds of false flags and psyops. And that, from a very progressive-oriented mindset, it was a gun issue that brought her into the Liberty Movement. You know, I found that fascinating. We're going to have her on the show. We'll be talking about that. And the crowd, it was, you know, a large area, and these are just people that were sitting down, but it was just, you know, there was hundreds of people, you know, all over during the performance. And Rob Hussle was like, get up here, man. We're going to dance and sing. And everybody, it was awesome. We had a good time. Tone Vase gave a presentation on trading, you know, a stock market trading kind of, and how it applied to Bitcoin. And that, and I'm going, and both the people that were very interested in that were rapt attention. You know, he did a good job. It was very popular, but I'm just like, wow. Okay. I mean, I guess Bitcoin has gone to that point. To where now it's just, you know, an integral part of finances. And I'm not really sure how the government's going to be dealing with it. I mean, fear and intimidation or whatever. This is the last night, just a picture of some of it just hanging out. And, you know, I want to say this. Her name is Nancy Kim. She was pleasant. You know, she, you know, engaged in conversation, but she, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it could have been, you know, and I think even if she was a representative of some agency or working to gather intelligence or wanted to, you know, the RNC wanted to find out what all them rich Bitcoin libertarians are going to do with their money in a 2016 race or whatever. I'm always of the opinion you be nice. She's third from the right there, you know, and standing next to Donna sitting down. And the pictures that she really pushed one to have a big group picture. I mean, a big group. And Joby and I were, yeah, we could do that. And everybody's like, nah, I mean, you know, a group picture at an anarchist event kind of, you know, it just didn't fly. And she, oh, I want a picture. And after we kind of, yeah, she's probably, I mean, spot the Fed, you know, a lot of people were voting her. And I told her, I said, well, you won the election. But, so we encourage, yeah, go ahead, take the picture. I mean, of course, you know they're there taking pictures all the whole time anyway. So Joby and I were like, yeah, sure. We got, she has pictures of us with our arms around her after we knew. After. Because it's just, you know, share the love. It's just an attitude. It's a different way. A lot of people are scared. And they have a legitimate, you know, reason to be. Because, you know, Roger Ver, Cody Wilson, Mark Victor, you know, Jeff Berwick, James Corbett. You know, all the people, just the people at this table, Julia Toriansky doing the Brave the World, very influential, Joby Weeks, myself, Donna, you know, some of these guys, Tatiana, Angel Clark. Now, I mean, you see my point? I mean, if you're going to, and the one gentleman in the front left sitting down, Swiss Metals, they were sponsored the event also, and their big thing was it's not just gold and silver and platinum plate. I mean, there's all kinds of metals, rare earths that are very valuable, you know, and you can trade that too, and may not be as manipulated. And this is just a view of the bay when we were leaving the taxi, and there's a good view of it. And the lights, it's an ocean of light that goes around this crescent. It is quite beautiful. And if you're there just to, you know, be part of the community and so on, I got the impression Jeff's enjoying himself. Jeff Berwick, he likes it there. But it is more of a resort town for the locals. You know, for Mexican, it's Hispanic. Yeah, because I think, you know, Cabo and Mazatlan and Cancun and so on, you know, it'll change. It'll be the new one, and then there'll be another new one. But Central America, the Spanish speaking, the Western Hemisphere here, there are a lot of opportunities. It's exploding. And, you know, blood in the streets means, you know, good deals to be had. And that was kind of, you know, Jim Rogers thing. I don't know where's it at? The war, I mean, that's where to go. You know, it's on the way up. And this drug war thing is eventually just going to fall of its own weight. And the corruption, they fire entire police forces now. And what happens? You know, crime goes down. You know, they stop the drug war, crime goes down. Talking to Stephanie Joby. Stephanie, your favorite place is Denmark, the Netherlands. So you think it's just awesome there, just the attitude and the parties and the festival and the weight off your chest. I've been feeling it. You know, as I get healthier and feel better, and so I mean, I look it, but, you know, I mean, I feel a lot better. I feel younger. But there's this chest thing. You know, and I just this morning, for the first time, I go, you know, I just need to get it off my chest. It's a physical thing. You know, you feel it. Now, when we're coming back, we finally go through customs and we're in Los Angeles and we have to go through the, you know, re-TSA yourself. You know, we're going to fly, we come in internationally, you go through customs and they, you know, you don't seem like a terrorist. And then we go to back through the TSA line and such to go to Phoenix. And this is the opt-out station. You know, they opt-out, go over, and they, you know, squeeze your testicles and so on. But underneath the table, on the stainless steel, the leg of the table was an Obey sticker. You know, it was a, you know, Big Brother thing, and they kind of took the Obey out. It seems like somebody kind of peeled it off, but they left that there. Who left it there? The TSA agents. You know, a lot of the younger guys, they know exactly what that is. Older guy, they have no idea what this means, you know. But anybody that's been on the internet and, you know, certainly involved in politics or, you know, pay attention and everything, know exactly what that is. So I kind of snuck up. You're not supposed to take a picture. But, you know, I snuck a picture there just to show you. I'm going, right on. It's a culture thing. You know, I'm really encouraged by, you know, the whole concept of the culture. So this is, it was a really good time, and after doing this, I should let Donna talk more, but I just wanted her to kind of go through this with me and then her give her kind of summary of this, and then we're going to talk during the break and go to the archive, and you'll get Donna's version on this before we have James Bovard on, and then James Bovard and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit and some of the news, and we got to get back into what's going on now and how they're prepping us. But you're impressed. You've gone to a few events, you know, with us, and you know some of these people. What was your overall impression of this whole thing?
It was very positive. People were there to learn and see what it was like down there. There was a couple people that had one-way tickets. Others were interested in investing in the area, or at least out of the United States and maybe in Mexico somewhere. So, I mean, it was very positive. People were there to learn, and I'm sure they got quite a great deal out of it.
Well, it's not the, you know, we're going to go fix America and talking about it over there. I mean, a lot of people, they just brought one-way tickets. Here, Tatiana is showing off her silver that you and she got the same thing. You know, these necklaces.
Yeah, it was just really pretty. I'd seen it the day before, and the guy kept coming by, and I'm just like, okay, well, but I thought it was pretty, but she wasn't sure she wanted to get it. And I go, here, I'll take a picture, and you can see what it looks like on. So she bought it after that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really like it. I'm glad you guys got that. That was good. And then, of course, all the women in the surf. Everybody getting in the surf. And it, look at Donna. That's her. That's Donna in the blue bathing suit there on the left. It's like, you know, awesome. You know, so then, and with the women 20, 30 years younger than her, and she's out, you know, competing right on. You know, we got all the guys. Everybody had a good time. It was very relaxing. And there was a lot learned by a lot of people. But, you know, it was the atmosphere. And it's always like this if you just cast it away. And I don't want – of course there's going to be the bad guys. You know, of course there's going to be, you know, people that want to influence or make you afraid or social and economic engineer, of course. But I just don't want them to win. You know, it's all in the mind. And with James in the next hour, we'll talk about some of the things we have planned to do to try to reduce the fear here in Phoenix. And 2015 is the year of finish. You know, I mean, just, you know, get ready, get finished, and just prepare to, you know, kind of ride it out. You know? Oh, yeah, and this is me and Lauren doing her podcast. Special agent, not in charge. You know, that was sure giving me at the Revolution March in 08 in Washington. You know, I said, yeah, I'll MC, but I don't want to be in charge of anything. So that was what they gave me. It was awesome. So we had a good time. I'm glad Don and I got to share this with you. But I want to share one main thing. It doesn't matter what's going on. Love, peace, non-coercion, that's the answer to just about everything.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Who told you to go this way?
You can't do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring
I didn't want you to
around.
Stop. Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me. Whoa, whoa. Hey.
Who do you think you
excuse
are?
Excuse me.
There is no video.
Okay, now me and Donna, we started the next hour. From the previous hour, we're going on, you know, about what was going on in Narcopoco and so on. But I wanted to give the flavor. Really, the thing I wanted to talk for, just talk and kind of give a flavor and just talk that when you're up against, when you deal in politics on their turf, when we file the petitions and we get on the ballot and we do all the press stuff and we're, you know, signs out and everything, you're really on their turf. This was our turf. And to immerse them in an atmosphere of just, we're just chilling and open discussions about whatever, not, you know, contemplating anything illegal or, you know, immoral or anything. You know, there's like marijuana being passed around to somewhere or somebody, something, and kind of I can smell the whatever. But, you know, nobody cares. And I'm sure there's death, dying, and destruction in Mexico if they catch it, something. But there was no fear. Of course, nobody's like bringing their firearms or anything on the airplane. I mean, you kind of don't want to die. But, you know, it's just, we're just not worried. And I'm wondering the conversations that you have with a lot of times I'm out, you know, doing, having conversations and sharing with people and all that, you were inserting yourself into conversations and talking to people. Tell me about your experiences.
I met people from all over the place. I mean, some of these are activists that are well-known. Some of them are just people that they wanted to come check it out, or they wanted to maybe meet some of these people, or just kind of take a vacation and in a place of like-minded people. Many people from, it's funny because I met a lot of people, okay, you might have three or four people from Hawaii who didn't know each other, but they found each other there. There were a couple guys from Sweden who didn't know each other, but now they do. So now they can go back to their perspective countries and, you know, have more of an impact there of whatever it is they want to do. So anyway, I just thought it was very positive. Everybody is, you know, they came to, now, I wouldn't say everybody there is an anarchist, but they're definitely freedom-minded people. And I think a lot of them were woken up by Ron Paul. They know Ron Paul was worldwide, and I think it had a lot of, he had such an impact on so many people, and this is the end result. This is what you get.
You know, Europe, there was a lot of people from Europe. I was kind of surprised, you know.
Yeah, mostly from Sweden. I don't remember some of the other countries. Somebody there.
Poland.
Australia. Oh, yes, Poland. Yes, right. A lot of people from Poland. And they all spoke Polish.
I know. You know, Jeff, Julia Toriansky and...
Tatiana. And then a bunch of guys.
And, you know, some of the other guys. And so I'm going, what's this Polish thing? And they go, because we know. You know, all these people, I mean, it's been fairly recently. You know, Poland was one of the later ones, you know, in our lifetime that kind of just abandoned the communist thing and went. But I mean, you never really, they just, the bad guys just, you know, change their party. I mean, you know, they do whatever. It's the same. And I think that the common thread was they recognized the evils of just coercion. If I had to have a common thread. And the people that were so concerned about politics, either they weren't in it long enough, they didn't understand they were an anarchist thing, you know, or they just were surveilling. They were on a mission. They were trying to find either for them. They wanted to do something. They, you know, thought there was a bunch of Bitcoin money there to get. And the motivations of the people that had any resources was to free humanity, to be, to do the right thing. I'm really impressed with how this movement, I don't know how they, them, those are going to stop it. It's the tighter their fist, the more star systems that leak between their fingers kind of thing. And I was encouraged. The only discouragement that I had of the whole thing that kind of just like, I wish it didn't happen, is when you do, it's kind of obvious, you know, someone, you know, that just, you know, they're there for a different reason or something, that they still get included. You know, they don't get ostracized because they're going to take all the pictures they want of the pictures anyway. But there's such experience with how burned a lot of people get. That they, because they'll take a picture, they're there, and they'll send a report to their supervisors of what was said and kind of take out of context some recording of who gives a crap. And they'll just, you know, it's they make it up as they go along. And once you know that they're making it up, you know, you kind of, you got a choice. You emphasize and explain to everybody what it is that you really, who you really are. And we have, you know, a benefit because, I mean, we do this, you know, on a regular basis, just talking examples, and they get to know us, and people go, yeah, that doesn't sound right. I doubt Ernie makes a sport of, you know, his cat occult as he's, you know, whipping kittens into sorrel cactuses or some crap like that, which is, you know, the reason I bring that up is I remember there was a campaign when I was in high school running for student body president that they were just playing the mud game. No, and he throws kittens and cactuses. I seen him. No, and he, you know, his mom wears army boots, whatever. I mean, you know, it was, I'm like, wow, these guys are serious about this politic thing. And so we're kind of open, but I can see a lot of people, if you're going to be influential in the space, you better be in the space, because if you're going to have your own webpage and you're going to have some influence, you really, really, really need to make sure that people know who you are, because, I mean, everything, as much as possible. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list, because if you're not, well, then you could be susceptible. And they could just make up any narrative they want, and they often do. And they got enough data points to turn every six-year-old into a Durka Durka jihad suicide vest-wearing bomber kid. So I'm just going, so so did you make some friends?
Yeah, I did. I really did. Made, I don't know, probably at least a dozen new people.
And people got to meet the Donna. They're going.
And I'll go, you look familiar. And it's because my picture's on the webpage or something, but I have no idea who everybody is. So,
you know, so it was, I'm glad you got to spend time with him, and a lot of, and everybody was, I was really impressed by just how beautiful everybody was. You know, it's just, it's so refreshing to have just happy, good ambassadors for freedom. And I'm hoping they're going to do it again next year, but I'm wondering what the flavor would be then. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, you'd like to go, but I'm just going, wow, how would it shift? You know, how many more agencies are you going to have? I don't know. We're going to talk about it. And James Bovard will be on here in a little bit. And he's just so experienced in a lot of these things that I'm... No, just keep it going with this one. And he's experienced in a lot of this. I think he'll have something to say about it. Yeah, go ahead and start a new one for him. Just go ahead and do that.
Need to get him on the phone.
We'll be right back.
Disturbingly efficient murderer in the animal kingdom. Robins inculcate their young with these twisted maws. We see an adult robin feeding its young with the ripped apart viscerae of an innocent worm. Like the Greek hero Atreus eating the flesh of his children at his own table, this black deed must surely curse the entire species. Even the most depraved acts of humanity pale in comparison to the robin's wickedness. Like idiot rapists, they commit their foul deeds with neither foresight nor hindsight. They live entirely in the present. Living beyond space and time, their god is the awful seething maelstrom of chaos at the center of the unfeeling universe.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to the clip! Independence of Mirna Stancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from BEAUT, full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. James Bovard, his writings have been publicly denounced by the chief of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, the Postmaster General, and the chiefs of the U.S. International Trade Commission, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, as well as many congressmen and other malcontents. You know why? Because he writes books, man. Lost Rights, the Destruction of American Liberty, Terrorism and Tyranny, Public Policy Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, James has he lives in Washington. I mean, you know, damn, better him than me. But I just want to, you know, kind of give you an overview of James before we meet him. But I mean, he's been published in like everything. You know, his books have been translated into Spanish, Arabic, Japanese, Korean. He's a contributing editor of The Freeman and The American Conservative and a regular contributor to The Future of Freedom magazine. You know, he has, you know, books, speaking engagements, you know, articles. The Wall Street Journal called Bovard the roving inspector general of the modern state. The New York Times labeled him as an anti-czar. Washington Post columnist George Will called him a one-man truth squad. You know, I mean, wow. He won the Lysander Spooner Award for the best book on liberty in 2003. He received the Thomas Zaz Award for civil liberties work. Awarded by the Center for Independent Thought and the Freedom Fund Award from the Firearms Civil Rights Defense Fund of the National Rifle Association. I mean, it's just, you know, James Bovard's got some accolades and some skills. Welcome to the show, James. Good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to hear from my favorite fire brand.
It's, you know, in the last, I tell you what's going on. I want to talk to you about a lot of things in the news because we've been gone for the last week at a Narco Poco in Acapulco, James Berwick's
Oh, that's good.
Thing. And, you know, let's see, you know, who was on the list, you know, to go. Now, Mark Victor, you know, his plane, right?
Mark is good man.
Right the last minute, his plane was canceled, mysteriously. So he couldn't get down there. They got to have a criminal defense attorney down there, you know what I mean? Explain it to us. No, he couldn't go. Cody Wilson, you know, Mr. 3D gun printing guy, dark wallet, Bitcoin kind of secret, and the ghost gunner milling FedEx, you know, UPS saying they're not going to ship it, and it's legal. But, I mean, just, no, they didn't want to play. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mark Forge, a 3D carbon fiber printing, 3D printing. Nope, you can't have one. So he puts out a $15,000 bounty. Anybody can get me one, gets $15,000 for the $6,000 printer, problem solved. So, I mean, this is kind of – and he's getting ready to go, and he was told – yeah, shouldn't probably come. So think about it. Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus worth a gazillion dollars that, you know, renounced his U.S. citizenship. They won't let him back in the country. You have James Berwick, Jeff Berwick, James Corbett. You have Cody Wilson and myself. It's not like if there would be an agent down there, as which agencies didn't go. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, it's a nice time of year to go there.
Yeah, it was. It was still warm, but I mean, you know, I came back to Phoenix. Where's my sweater? It was in, you know, like low 70s or something. I'm going, what the hell? So this is, we enjoyed ourselves. But while we're down there and the news that was going on, there's so many good things and so many bad things. And I knew that if I talked to you, you would kind of give me, you know, a rundown on what's really going on in the world. Would you do that for us, please? I mean, I know you're covering a lot of, you know.
I don't, yeah, I'm not entirely sure what.
War,
you know,
rumors of wars, corruption, rumors of proof of corruption, video of, you know, the neocon 2016 election cycle, you know, how much programming, social and economic engineering, BS, false flag and stuff, you know, here it comes. And a lot of this you've predicted, or a lot of it you chronicled in different administrations of what's happening. And the trend, is it slowing, getting worse? Do we have hope? I mean, help me out.
Well, you know, it's every year it becomes more difficult for me to retain my optimism.
Why do you think? What are you looking for? What do you see?
Well, you know, price of beer keeps going up, and the FDA is getting ready to ban cheap cigars, which is like going for my jugular. So, I mean, there's all these nasty things. You know, it's interesting. I think it was Mencken who had a line that said if a congressman thought that they could get votes for coming out in favor of cannibalism, Congress would do that. And I had that. It's hard not to think of that watching the response to the Israeli Prime Minister's speech yesterday in Congress, because it was so craven, and you kind of wonder how much lower can Congress go. It's almost as if these folks are proud not to have learned anything from all the disastrous U.S. interventions since 2002, 2003. A lot of the same folks who were, you know, cheering George W. for dragging us into war against Iraq are now cheering the Israeli Prime Minister for trying to drag us into war against Iran. And you've got the Saudi government there in the background trying to pull strings to get us dragged into a war against Iran as well. So many rascals, and yet there was this, maybe there's some hope, because something which I like about you is that you always find the optimistic long-term trend, but I'm wondering if perhaps there'll be a backlash because Congress has groveled so far so often now, but maybe not.
Well, let's talk about Netanyahu's speech. I of course, it's on Freedom's Phoenix, and we had and I skim over it, and I look, yeah, blah blah blah, more of the same. I feel a lot better that I don't feel anything for I don't care. You know, it's on. It's like they're talking to somebody when most of the people aren't listening. But I'm not sure. Are they just echo chamber? Are they just talking to each other? Are they, you know, when they come in and Netanyahu is like, man, yep. And I own this Congress, literally.
there was a great line that Jon Stewart had on this. I don't know if you saw the outtakes of his show last night, but
Jon Stewart last night on this, Donna is going to get it up before the end of the show. Go ahead.
Yep, he said it was the longest speech that a Jewish guy ever got, as far as response from Congress. So,
well, did you watch it?
Oh God, no. Basically, I said each day I set a quota for my surliness, and I was already too surly by late morning, and it was like, you know, I was working on a couple other stories, and it's not like I've got a good venue to write about this, so it's more just kind of like I was reading about it. I saw some really good comments. American Conservative had some good stuff. Antiwar.com's got good stuff. A lot of commentators, a lot of liberals, Talking Points memos and others, have nailed a lot of the absurdities that Bibi was pushing yesterday. But it's just fascinating to see how utterly craven Congress is. But I guess it's no surprise. I mean, it was the same mindset that they had in 1917 when the British dragged us into the First World War, the same mindset they had in 1919 when they pushed through Prohibition. So it's, you know, this is who politicians are. And to have any expectations that they're always all of a sudden going to start being honorable, and you know, that's absurd.
Well, what do you think they're pushing? Just war? Is it an attitude? Is it who rules? Is it banking? What's behind all this? Is it just Israel finally is just, you know, our last chance to go get Iran? And I don't understand what's going on. Help me out, man. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'm not the best person to talk to in this. I haven't followed it closely, but there's just so many different levels. There's so many absurdities here.
Well, we'll discuss some of the most pronounced absurdities when we come back with James Bovar, because, you know, I mean, he's literally in the belly of the beast. Why? I have no idea, but he, you know, got a lot of material, so he's going to share that with us and what his next projects are and some of the things he's covering now. James Bovar, when we come back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
If you are successful at what you do, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a business owner, or you have a great career, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Well, are you protecting yourself, your family, and your assets with quality term life insurance? Consider these possible rates. A man age 45, non-tobacco user, could obtain $1 million of coverage for as little as $75 a month. And this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. A man aged 50, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $500,000 of coverage for it.
So how are you?
Oh, I'm not doing bad. Just kind of appalled by so much of the stuff that's going down right now. But heck, I've been appalled for most of the time in the last 14 years.
I know, so. But it's like, I mean, you think it can only get so bad, and then damn, you know?
It's surprising. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and let's do some notes here. Some of the things that are the most appalling. You know, give me a list here.
Oh, heck. You know, most of what I've been writing about lately has not been foreign policy. I mean, I'm happy to take some zaps at the Syria nonsense, the ISIS nonsense. It's fun to see the controversy about Hillary Clinton's secrecy, her secret emails, because this is just typical of how the government works. I mean, we don't... you know, all the important stuff is kept behind the curtain, and we're supposed to be satisfied with the dribble of self-serving leaks. So,
you know, one thing like the Petraeus thing, oh, slap on the wrist, fine, and probation, and kind of done, and Snowden death, you know what I mean? So I'm just,
right.
Yeah, it's just hypocrisy of that. You got anything to say about the Petraeus thing?
Oh, sure. I'm happy to take a few swings
okay, well,
of that.
I mean, yeah, we'll just do that. Let's see, we got Hillary emails, which is what you're talking about, State Department stuff or personal crap?
Right, right. Well, and, I mean, the thing she did is when she was Secretary of State, instead of using the official secure network, she just used her private email, which was hacked at least once by some guy in Romania. And we have no idea what she said. I mean, it goes to the heart of the investigation about Benghazi, which I think is vastly overblown. But I'd be far more interested to see what her comments were at the time the U.S. started bombing the government of Libya. Because this is where her real, devastating impact was.
You know, the one other thing is the Newsweek article by Assange on Eric Schmidt and Google. Did you read that?
No.
I really suggest you read that. Julian Assange talked about a visit from Eric Schmidt in an article.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, that was a few months ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. But that was like, I'm going, God, man, I mean, kid, how bad does it have to get, you know? All right, here we're coming back. We'll talk about it.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. James Bovard, another independence declaring individual. It's been keeping us in front. I first met James back in, God, man, it had to be 92, 93. I think it was Lost Rights that I was, wow. He gave a presentation here in Phoenix at the Hilton, and it was just packed attendance and lunch and met with some people and kind of, and cool. And I go, hey, somebody's out there doing this, describing what's going on. And, you know, James, I got to ask you, has it gotten any better since then?
Let's see. Has it gotten better? Well, no. I mean, it's interesting. When Lost Rights came out, a lot of people were very critical because they said I was much too cynical, that I didn't give the government the benefit of the doubt, that I was quoting politicians and FBI directors out of context. But if you look at how things have developed since then, especially after 9/11, government has gone so much further to the dark side. And it's interesting that after 9/11, you would have a president who felt like that he could suspend habeas corpus and also torture people based on his own decree, and Congress went along with that. And much of the American public seems to be okay with the government torturing people as well, which is, again, much worse than I thought it would be. There were a number of times after 9/11 where I thought, okay, the government's gone too far. Now there's going to be a pro-liberty or pro-limited government, at least, backlash. But thus far, I've been disappointed on that.
Yeah, I'm not looking for the solution to be in the halls of Congress. I just
God, no.
Going to be, you know, like influence. This is we I was talking to the audience about this very point that you'll probably appreciate more than most. As we're down at a Narco Poco, you know, with a lot of the big names of whatever, you know, it's like how many agencies will be there, and the little bugs on all the tables kind of thing, and sure. You just kind of assume that. I mean, you know, whatever. But I could see the focus from a lot of people. At an anarchist kind of event like this that was talking about expatriate, I mean, just moving, just, you know, what's condition, your circumstance with your family, what's your finances? Well, these are the things, what languages you might want to do, what countries you might want to go. I mean, that kind of thing. It's not fix it. It's just, you know, survive it. And, but the focus was there's in 2007, 2008, this Ron Paul Levolution thing just dropped on the map and did all, and they didn't know what to do. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't, the internet and people were communicating and rising up around the world and kind of, oh my God, now they got Bitcoin and lots and hundreds of millions of dollars. And what are they going to do with Rand Paul? And they're all like, Rand who? I mean, you know, they assumed that this buildup, that there was going to be some kind of a political money-fueled effort to win something. You know, they didn't understand that it is a movement. It's a philosophy. And it's Generation Next. It's global. It's not inside their box. I don't think those that want to have this influence understand what's happening. So the only thing they know how to deal with is fear. So that's what fear. I've been saying on the show for years. I'm going St. Louis Arch, Golden Gate Bridge, toast. I mean, we got to have a mushroom cloud of something somewhere. I mean, are you thinking that we're going to avoid that? Are they amping up to it? We got some kind of ooh, and we just need to build ourselves up, just not be afraid of whatever comes. What do you think the solution is?
Well, in 15 words or less, folks, well, it's kind of the message that you've been hammering for years, that people need to take their own responsibility for their own lives, for their own safety, in some cases even for their own food supply, and make sure that they're not passively waiting for some government agent to ride to the rescue, because the thing we've seen in recent years is government isn't able to do that. Some government officials are far more interested in their own power than they are in public safety, and there have been so many false alarms over the last 14 years. It's surprising to me that government has any credibility left for almost anything.
We have like the Boston bombing. There's a lot of, no, I'm not really sure that happened. There's Subway 2 bombing in London. Nah, that didn't seem to work out as well. Oh, and then you have Sandy Hook. Well, it doesn't seem like, I mean, and there was a woman that was one of the presenters and performers at the event down there, and she got in the movement from a false flag, 50 people got killed, you know, gun thing. You know, she was kind of progressive liberal, but that was the one issue. It's kind of like their 9/11 down there. They're going, nah, this was just to disarm us. But it's becoming, because of the internet, it's becoming obvious to a lot of people. And I'm wondering if this effort to kind of get a chokehold on the internet is out of fear, out of necessity, out of survival. I mean, what's going on there? I haven't been really paying attention.
Well, I haven't followed that closely either, but it is almost comical to see some of the arguments that the Obama folks were making to seize control over the internet, and it's appalling to see there's been so little lasting backlash against Edward Snowden's revelations, because Snowden had he had a whole boatload of smoking guns, of just horrendous federal abuses, horrendous intrusions, brazen federal law breaking, and Obama made a few promises, and there were a couple commissions or whatever appointed, and they lathered a bit, and now Congress is marching along. It's just there's such an open contempt for any notion of rule of law or the Bill of Rights at this point. And that is something which is simply encourage congressmen to push far further and to become even more contemptuous of Americans' rights and liberties.
You know, I tell you what my fear is fear. You know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, kind of thing. And I'm what to do with our resources and what we can do and so on. And we can, the most recent opportunity available is Phoenix mayor race is coming up this August. So it's time to go get signatures, get on the ballot, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I'm going, and I know some of the guys at the Fusion Center, talked to one of the sergeants that's a liaison to the Fusion Center for the Phoenix Police Department. And his email is at FBI.gov. And I go, seriously? And he goes, we're just one big happy family. So I'm going,
that's a good line.
This is, I see the fear coming. He's going, oh, yeah, terrorism. There was, one of the 9/11 bombers or hijackers, came through here and had a cousin's ex-roommate, something that used to visit Phoenix or something. I mean, there's always some tenuous justification for we get some of that money. And I'm going, as you're sitting there facing off the terrorists in hand-to-hand combat, do they even tell you that there's this big tsunami of economics going to wash over all y'all? You know, the people are going to be, nope, doesn't even come up. Okay, that's all I need to know. Either he was not being forthright or they're missing it. Now, either way, I'm not feeling comfortable. So I'm wondering if I'll run for Phoenix mayor. Now, this is the first time I'm really talking about it. Run for Phoenix mayor and just do no campaigning, nothing, just to put up a bunch of signs to send to a web page that has just solutions, different apps and different things and different ways of communicating, different. Just look, when it happens, don't be afraid. And the campaign be just big signs of no fear, just no fear, because that's what they thrive on. And James Bovard's books are all about the fear. Look what they did. They go, when we come back, we're going to go let James help us with that and talk about the fear that's instilled and what results they get and what laws get passed. And I feel something coming. And it's going to be big. And it's going to be because they can. And we just need to be prepared for it. We need to just, you know, steal our minds.
On LRN.FM.
So that's why you can help. When I come back, I'll just throw it to you. So start thinking about, you know, all these things that may happen, what they have done, and what things got passed when they did it. You know what I mean?
You're okay. Are you thinking primarily of laws or policies or what, Ernie?
Well, that's just a manifestation of what they can get you to, you know, believe. You know, I don't see politics or voting as anything other than a side effect of culture. You know, it's just, so they try, and that's why I'm so optimistic, is because they have to spend generations and literally trillions of dollars in propaganda and media and mandatory youth indoctrination government school camps, you know, sure, to get you into a certain mindset to not only allow, but to demand, you know, a lot of these programs and things that they do. And this, you know, the change that we've seen in, you know, since the Levolution kind of thing, just that generation next, there's even some people that are, you know, the leaders in their community. I mean, they're confident, positive thinking individuals that lead by example and inspiration. And then you have some inspiring things going on in a lot of different spaces in tech and space and all that kind of stuff that I don't see. They have to amp it up. There's everybody to know why they need us, and they're going to need a really freaking good reason. And it's just Durka Durka Jihad mushroom cloud and all the stuff they're doing in Ukraine and Russia's kind of. And I look at Putin and how they and China are handling this, and I'm going, I don't know what they see. Is there something they don't know, or are they just going, God, is American, the West that stupid? Or there's something else going on that I kind of get to the point where I don't care. It's just that we just need to put ourselves in a position of not being afraid and just survive whatever is coming rather than running down to the FEMA camp and please can I have a bottle of water.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a frustrating part of the reason I don't spend that much time trying to closely follow foreign policies is because so much of it's so profoundly dishonest. What the government, and it's not just Obama, it goes back decades, at least to World War II. And you find out much later, well, actually, this is what was going on. And actually, you know, the Soviets were doing this. And actually, the U.S. government, were, you know, they were in the Korean War, whacked a lot more civilians than admitted, stuff like that. So it's just, and there are so many bizarre things the Obama folks have done in the Middle East, from Libya, Syria, ISIS, and all this. It's like, what the hell's really going on? Who's pulling the strings? And it's going to be a long time till we find out. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, we're still getting revelations of JFK stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you think back to that JFK, the tapes on that, well, not the tapes, but the Congress passed, maybe the Warren Commission or whatever, had a deal where the information would be suppressed for 75 years. And it's like, what the heck is this? Okay, so your great-grandchildren will be able to learn the truth. And Congress went along with that, and the media accepted that, and the public, you know, didn't raise hell. It took Oliver Stone to get that trimmed back a bit, but it's frustrating to see how much cover-ups the government gets away with.
Well, it's the same thing with Oklahoma City, Waco, 9/11. I mean, you know, we've been through, I mean, just in our adult life, so much of this stuff that I'm just, I can't focus on that. You know, because I just, there's no benefit, really. I don't see how we're going to, I just don't see it. So it's, you know, the peace, you know, all the good stuff that we've been experiencing. And we'll talk about that a little bit, too. But I know we want to get over some of these issues, ISIS, Hillary's emails, you know, Petraeus, new, and then we can go long if we need to. But we'll go through our list here, and that'll get us into a lot of places. Here we go.
FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Beer. declare your independence. I just don't want to be negative waves, you know, but you need to get a perspective, certainly from inside Washington. That's another thing, James. You're right there. I mean, you can see Washington's monument from your home. I'm just going...
not quite, but...
No, you're pretty close. I mean, you're like in the metro there goes to your house, right?
Well, it's not too far away, but I think you were able to see the Washington Monument from your hotel room when you stayed nearby here in 2008.
You know, and I'm wondering, my first question would be, why? I mean, you have friends, family, you're from there, is just a target-rich environment? What?
Target-rich environment is part of it. Part of it is, I simply haven't gotten off my ass to move away. I have been thinking maybe someplace like Asheville, North Carolina, going back to the mountains. I was raised in the mountains. I've always missed the mountains. I've said I've missed the mountains. I haven't done much to get back there. I'm not that keen on this area. This is not a good place to run into free spirits. Almost everybody I meet is either a government worker or a government contractor or some other way hooked into the government system here. So,
what was it going to take to get you to go to one of these freedom festivals and just chill?
I've gone to some of the freedom festivals.
Pork Fest. Go to Pork Fest.
Yeah, I was at Pork Fest 2005. I was at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum last year. So it's not like I'm, it's not like I'm totally secluded here. So
all right, cool. Well, that'd be awesome just to relax and just chill. Well, let's go ahead and get, into the meat of it here. We got ISIS, blah, blah, blah. We got Netanyahu and Israel and whatever's going on there. Hillary emails and, the State Department emailed Libya, Benghazi, all the private emails hacked to Hillary. We talk about that. We got Petraeus's thing. He's like, slap on the wrist, being a general at the top of leaking out debt, and it's okay. Don't worry about it. And then, a lot of things. What do you want to start off with? Hillary, ISIS, Libya? What do you want to do?
Well, let's talk about Hillary, because the news came out in the last couple of days about how when she was Secretary of State that she had private, she used a private email service instead of the government email, the official State Department email. And by doing that, two things. First of all, her email was not secure, and it was hacked at least by one guy in Romania. It may have been copied by other governments as well. It may have been, and secondly, it means that she is immune. I mean, it makes it impossible for us to find out what she actually did and what she actually said, because having it as private email, it's not possible to get access to it from the Freedom of Information Act, for instance. And this is a total betrayal. And this is the same, the similar kind of nonsense happened with the Clinton administration. Certainly, George W. has done a lot of this. There was a federal court decision a couple of days ago here in the D.C. area on the EPA just being totally contemptuous of the Freedom of Information Act. And it's there's a flurry after these stories and people grouse, but it goes to the heart of whether we're going to have any control over the government when the government can simply cover up its almost everything it does.
Well, like, what were they covering up? I mean, Libya, you have a lot of the other State Department emails that were done out, the WikiLeaks thing. You had Assange doing his portrayal of his meeting with Eric Schmidt from Google in Newsweek. And that was months ago, but it really had an impact on me. I had no idea Google, hell, might as well be the State Department, So it's like a revolving door now. I mean, what's your view on these large companies and so on?
Well, it's interesting because Eric Schmidt was on the same high school track team that I was on back in the early 70s. I was not there the same year he was. I think he was a couple years ahead of me, and it was a high school that I did not move to until my senior year. But, I mean, folks, I think he's more prosperous than I am, but I'm not sure. it's interesting with the Hillary stuff because, again, There was so much crap which she did to justify U.S. bombing Libya, and she was so tightly tied in with the dictator in Egypt, and we don't know how many other foreign leaders or foreign governments that she did favors for, because another story that came out last week was that during the time she was Secretary of State, that her Clinton Foundation, she and Bill's personal PR machine, was getting millions of dollars of contributions from foreign governments in violation of federal ethics laws. So at the same time that the chief secretary of state is helping set U.S. policy towards these governments, those governments are kicking in millions of dollars into her personal kitty. I mean, it's so brazenly corrupt, and yet there was a flurry, and we'll see if it sticks, but it's almost like there's a Hillary Clinton scandal of the week at this point.
Well, I'm. Did you see that one country western song, "Stand with Hillary" or something?
No.
No, you got it. In the break, you know, we'll play this. In the break,
okay.
You got to go see it. "Stand with Hillary" song. Are you at a computer?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and do that. Just YouTube "Stand with Hillary." You know, you just do that, and then we'll watch it in the break. A couple minutes, a minute into this thing, you'll go, are you freaking kidding me? It was like, country western, we're going to bust that ceiling, the glass ceiling woman. She's a mother, she's a mom, she's a wife, she's a whatever, vote for Hillary. And I'm going, it was so, you got to wonder who they're talking to. You know, who's influenced by this kind of stuff, and to what end? You know, so this is the first election. I wonder if it was you. Somebody was telling me, they said, you know, this is going to be the first presidential election cycle where we're going to have to refer to the candidates by their first name. You know, Jeb and Hillary. I mean, which Bush? Which Clinton? Which Paul? You know, Jeb, Hillary, and Rand. So when you start seeing, you know, them being referred to by their first names, you can see who the anointed, coronated, who's going to be people. Then you have Rand does well at CPAC, but, you know, the machine, we went through this in 08 and 12 with his father. So what do you think, how is the field going to, you know, lay out? Is there a coronation going on as always, or what?
Well, I think what's happening is there is an attempted coronation. But there's so much dirt from Hillary that's already coming up, and plus so many people have such a visceral dislike of her that she's going to flounder. I mean, she's simply not a likable human being. Jeb Bush, he's going to have the same trouble. There was all kinds of devious dealings he did as governor, and after being governor, so much family dirt, he's going to sink. Scott Walker looks like a nice candidate thus far. We don't know much about him. Rand Paul is great on some issues, but it's sad to see him kowtowing on foreign policy.
Yeah, this is, and that was kind of surprising. A lot of people that were kind of hoping to get support for Rand. I mean, it wasn't thick, you know, a few people, and a lot of them, you know, may have been the agents, you know. But they're just, you know, but what about Rand? What about Rand? What are you guys going to do for Rand? And it was kind of that impression. They're like, what are you going to do for Rand? And I'm going, why? What are you going to do? I mean, are you looking for help for something you're doing, or are you just, you know, being the agent and gathering information about us? I mean, because that's kind of a first sign, because a lot of times people are going, oh, this is what I'm doing, and being inspired, and who can help, and we'll work together. And so, but that wasn't it. It was like a information gathering thing. And what do you see happening with the supporters and the young people that supported his father? Is that looking to come out for Rand or not?
Well, there was, you know, part of the reason that Ron Paul had such great support was he was seen as sincere. He spoke from the heart. He sometimes said things that made people cringe, or he sometimes made mistakes, but people thought of him as an honest politician. Rand just seems to have his finger up in the air a lot more. Rand seems a lot better than the other GOP candidates, but that's not exactly a hearty endorsement.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how this is going to play out and what issues are going to be important. I mean, is it going to be all Benghazi all the time, you know, about, you know, Hillary? Is it going to be Jeb Bush's, you know, money-making deal and family and oil? Is it going to be, you know, are we going to start talking about real policies and, like, stopping the war on terror around the planet of terrorizing everybody? I mean, what are the issues going to be in this 2016 election cycle? Well, we're going to find out. James is going to help us.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
This is the Onion Week in Review.
According to friends, colleagues, and complete strangers, anxiety-ridden man Timothy Gibula is rightly ashamed of every single thing he does, with mere acquaintances saying they're constantly judging Gibula.
Okay, did you look up that Stand With Hillary thing?
I'm watching it right now. I'm disappointed it hasn't shown any muff diving yet.
No, they're not.
This is some amazing stuff. It's just like, I mean, it's
propaganda.
Triumph of the Will. Triumph of the Will is the movie that rings to mind. It's just bizarre that it's putting such a huge halo over her and her entire cause and her entire life. It's like, my God.
I don't know how they're going to have any success at trying to attempt to maintain this narrative for more than 15 seconds. You know what I mean?
This is not going to work. I mean,
it didn't.
If you look at the details of her life, it doesn't work.
So who's this for? You see, they're so removed. It's like let them eat cake kind of stuff. I mean, I don't think they think it really matters. They just need a couple of graphics and some, because it's always worked before, and they're always fighting the last war. And that's why I bring up this Rand thing. They're so afraid that the people are going to do another Ron Paul. They had an 08, they had a 12. And then they're thinking a 16 is going to be the same thing they got to contend with. And they probably do in the same issues. It's just going to be a kinder, gentler, different, you know, bring the – don't scare the horses and bring in the older people of they can vote for the younger Paul. I mean, that's interesting. They wouldn't vote for someone their own age, but they'll sure as hell vote for his son because he's I love me some Israel or something. And Rand's idea that he can get further along than his dad – by doing this, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and what deals are made. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the news in Kentucky about how they're going to try and get him to run for both. Are you familiar with that?
Right. That's the same thing that Lyndon Johnson had in 1960 when he was, running for re-election as senator and as the presidential candidate.
Yeah. You got something you can say about that? Explain that to people, what's going on?
Oh, hell. I mean, I don't have any insights on that.
No, I mean, what they're trying to do and why.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is fairly predictable.
Let's do that real quick just to people know what's up. And then, Hillary, God, but then I certainly want to get the ISIS and stuff. All right, here we go.
Okay.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Things they do not want Rand Paul will be able to run for U.S. Senate in Kentucky and run for the presidency. And the same kind of thing happened with LBJ. Lyndon Johnson, they changed the law, did something so he could back in the day in the 60s, in the 64 campaign, I guess it was. And it was all about changing the law in that state, in Texas. And they're doing the same kind of something in Kentucky. James, help me out. What do you know about what's going on there?
Well, I'm not based. I just know what I've seen in some of the papers is that they're. I assume it's Rand Paul's folks who are pushing to get a special law in Kentucky, like what Johnson had, as you mentioned, in 1960 down in Texas. So that in case he runs for the president and doesn't win, he can still run for the Senate. Which, I mean, this is how politicians stack elections. So it's nothing really sinister about it. It might seem a bit tawdry. But this is how the game is played. And flip side is, on lots of issues, there's nobody better in the Senate than Rand Paul. So it'd be fine if he stays there and if he doesn't make the presidency.
Well, the power, a lot of people, they don't emphasize this or take as much value in it as I do, is the philosophy, the purity of the philosophy, the infectious nature of that, for generation next, of understanding whether you agree with someone's position or not. You have people from the left and the right supporting Dr. Paul, certainly the youth, because he was consistent in the principle that was applied to everything. You know, abortion, foreign policy, Social Security. I mean, there is at least a common thread, whether you agreed with him or not, that he could rationalize and use philosophy to justify, you know, pretty much most of the time, if not all the time. But Rand is, they're playing games. You know, it's politics. And that was what I think Generation Next was wanting to get away from more than anything else. And from Dr. Paul, Ron Paul's encouragement, they got involved in Republican Party. And they, you know, saw just how bad it was on the inside. They got to see the sausage being made. And I get the impression that Rand thinks that he can play the game. You know, Dad just wasn't as good at it as I. He didn't see. He's dull dogmatic and wouldn't compromise and I wouldn't work with. And right after he gets the nomination in Kentucky, first thing he does is run to New York to meet with Bill Kristol. And I'm like, well, I'm done already. You know, so it got any better? So how do you think his race is going to inspire the next generation? I mean, is there something there, some issue, something that inspires them like his father did, or is it just, you know, next?
Well, that's a great question. I don't have a good answer. It's going to be in part, depending on how the other GOP candidates play their cards. But I think back to late 2007 when Ron Paul was in a debate maybe in South Carolina or something like that, and all the other candidates were just utterly warmongering and saber-rattling, and Ron Paul spoke out for peace, and the other candidates and probably the host mocked him, but that was a defining moment for his establishing himself with the American people as a real alternative. And I don't know if Rand Paul is going to be able to make that kind of opportunity or define himself that way. I'm not sure if he wants to define himself that
right.
way.
Right, if he wants to, what issue would he use?
I don't know, but I mean, it's interesting. Looking back, September 2013, Rand Paul was one of the most outspoken people in Washington and certainly the most outspoken GOP guy against going to war against Syria. I mean, he was great on that issue. He said the right things. He was thoughtful. He seemed reasonable. Since then, it seemed like he's had a bit of a relapse on these issues, and he doesn't have the clarity or solid footing or the clear thinking that he had. Or maybe he's just, you know, holding his finger up in the winds. But he was great on Syria and helped rally the American people and the public and the media to recognize the idiocy of the Obama push to go to war against the Assad regime at that point.
Well, now we have Jihadi John, where the heck is it? I don't care. You know, this ISIS thing, and they find out who he is, and then they find out. You know, what's your comment on that? Is that more, you know, programming? What's going on?
Well, it's just it's interesting to see how a lot of interventionists are trying to claim that the existence of ISIS proves that we never should have left Iraq, when what it really proves is we never should have gone in there in 2003, because this is the source of ISIS. There is so much chaos and so much hatred unleashed, and this is largely George W.'s fault. It's also Obama's fault, because a major reason that ISIS came came to be was because of the horrendous persecution of the Sunni Muslims, which was done by the U.S.-backed Shiite government, backed by Bush, backed by David Petraeus, backed by Obama. It was obvious that the Shiites were doing horrendous killings and torture of the Sunnis, but the U.S. government kept financing them, kept arming them, and now there's practically a civil war there with a bunch of nutcases with video cameras.
And behind that was what? Just to get the oil? To get China out? To flex it because we can? I mean, I'm not really sure what the Libya thing was. We don't like Gaddafi. I mean, I didn't understand. And what's resulted is, I don't know. I mean, is there some benefit to anybody? What was the purpose? What was the result of this Libya invasion?
Well, it was never justified. I mean, there was no reason for the U.S. to intervene. It was, you know, the U.S. got dragged in there after the French and the British muddled in there and tried to solve the problem. And, naturally,
what problem? What? How is it a problem of somebody in New Jersey? I mean, I don't understand what the problem was.
Well, I mean, there was conflict there. There was it was a bad dictator who had served the U.S. interests for a long time and served Western interests in the war on terror. But there was a conflict there, and Hillary and Rice and Powers were just, you know, you had the it was a team of three Lady Macbeths, and they were calling for blood, and they got it, and they were so proud when the government there was finally toppled. It was one of their greatest achievements in life. And yet, the same folks are trying to pretend that they have no responsibility for the horrendous chaos that has predictably been followed there.
And this ISIS thing, they're friends of ours or not? We need to arm the ISIS guys in Syria and not anywhere else and kill them somewhere and doing in the Durka Jihad. Oh, I tell you this. There's a gentleman, you may have seen a lot of his videos. It's called Mox News. He had 65,000 videos over the years that he's had up. He put up Petraeus was, I mean, not Petraeus, Panetta, I think, Leon Panetta is ex-CIA and Secretary of Defense. I got the right guy, right? I'm proud that I don't know. But he's up there on the BBC going, oh, yeah, man, Durka Jihad, and we got Muslim in the Crusades and get the grandchildren ready for a multi-generational war. He puts that up, boom, Google and YouTube, and you're canceled and done and get them all off. And I'm going, wow. So this ISIS thing, this is like a forever war that they're promoting. And I'm wondering, is there anything that they just manufacturing? Because they need to, they will. But, you know, what do you think's going on? What we got to look forward to?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a nasty, evil bunch, as far as I can tell, these ISIS folks. But it's not our problem. This is, as you said, it's not in New Jersey. And this is something which the Arabs over there in that neck of the woods need to stomp out. It would help if most of the governments there were not such utter dictators and making people hate them with so much violence. But it doesn't make any sense to think that stomping out ISIS is going to solve the problems in that part of the world. And the U.S. government is blamable because it has done so much to feed the Syrian civil war from which ISIS, which did so much to help ISIS arise. The French and the British are even more culpable, but that's typical.
But is there a difference between everybody anymore? You know, I mean, it's like they, them, those won't leave us alone just has, you know, different franchises or something. You know, there's one, you know, gang with a flag, you know, which flag, and then underneath that flag is a bunch of flags, like a flow chart of we rule the world. And I'm wondering where it comes from.
Well, that's a perfect question for the U.S. Syrian intervention, because we've tried to be on several different sides, and it's been even more absurd than usual for U.S. foreign policy.
So much more. We're just going to have a conversation as long until James has got to go. Give me a couple more minutes here at the end of the show, and I just want to go to the archive, because there's a bunch of stuff that just breaks, you know, are very annoying sometimes. But what we're going ahead and do is I just, you know, just talking with James makes me feel better. And at least I feel more informed and I get a view of what's going on in the Beltway because he's there. Oh, I don't know why, but we're glad to have him on our side.
Since time began.
There we go. Now we can just talk. This is we're beginning of 2015. It's going to go through this year, and it's probably not going to be until August is, you know, like the local city Phoenix race will be done in August. Then it hits Labor Day. Then the 2016 election cycle for president kind of gets going. It'll be this fall. When that goes, then it'll kind of, you know, they'll the positioning, and they go through the holidays, and then, you know, it's January, and now it's in earnest. Here we go. And I'm but there's jockeying and positioning and money being raised and people and stuff. I've been through this cycle so many times that you can see it's they create their own reality. They're trying to. And I'm wondering what it is that you're seeing. I mean, is it war? It's like wag the dog. Well, you have to have a war. You're kidding, right? You know, no, we just need the appearance of a war. We need a pageant, a song. I mean, you know, that kind of crap. And these guys are going to, you know, BS us into mushroom clouds. And if that's what it takes, that's what they'll get. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I comment on that. I just want to make sure when it does happen, we don't go into panic mode. They're going to say we are. You know, they're going to give every indication that everybody's freaking out. They'll show every, you know, person, three people on the street with a sun cannon guns or something. But I just want to suppress, you know, this urge to just, you know, go out and be afraid and just, you know, offer solution, just, you know, peace. I think that's the most powerful weapon. Like this one was love, you know, the one before the love-olution. I don't know if it's a peace-olution or something we can come up with. I mean, what do you think? How's this going to play out?
I don't know. I mean, I've since 2002, I've seen the warring and the warmongering as the biggest short-term peril to freedom. Because if you look back, Bush sees so much extra power thanks to the Iraq War, and it had such a profound influence on making so many Americans intolerant of any criticism of the president or of the federal government. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing that same mindset now. I mean, there was a comment by a radio show host on WorldNet Daily, or maybe not WorldNet Daily, maybe some other place, she said that the members of the Black Caucus who didn't go to who boycotted the speech by the Israeli Prime Minister should be taken out and hanged for treason. And I'm thinking, well, treason to who? But there is this mindset once the war starts, and it's something that you experienced in 2003 and 2004, and I experienced it, just a complete visceral hatred. And which will happen again with the next time, in case the government can drag us into another real war, as opposed to just kind of bombing and killing people that we don't like this week.
Well, you know, I saw, it's hard to, we put a lot of stuff, I just send links to staff to put up, and we have a lot of contributors, and I kind of look at the headline, I read some things I think of interest, you know, I'm more interested in technology and how we're going to, you know, solutions to free, oh yeah, therefore you need this app. Well, they're going to invade and do it, well, that sounds like another app. So, you know, So I keep myself, you know, more in positive thinking, but I do have, you know, my seventh grandchild on the way. So I'm going.
That's great! Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm very encouraged by a lot. I'm just trying to keep them insulated from the pain and the hunger and the cold and the heat. Just keep them, you know, a positive environment and a love environment around them. So hopefully we trend back out of this by the time they start to become of age. And I'm going, so if I can do that before I die, be a part of that, I'm like, I win. That's my goal. And
that's great.
So there's this. The idea that all the stuff that they do, they're going to do. They do anyway. And we find this, you know, the Snowden stuff they were doing. We all suspected this. Anyway, hell, in your books. I mean, you knew this stuff was going on. But the thing is that you go, they needed it to be legal. They needed to be able to make it part of the process. Or they just have extra legal stuff to where they're not even in the system. You're just renditioned and you're Chicago off in some black site in Chicago. I mean, this is Rahm Emanuel kind of stuff. And then they go bankrupt and they're just print more money. I mean, it's just all this stuff. And I'm wondering, you know, what they're going to do now to try and make the things that they're really overstepping now legal. What they got, what do they have left to make legal? Just in nuclear invasion? I mean, you know, I'm wondering, is there anything left on their plate they don't think they have?
Well, there's another question here, and that goes to the heart of it: is that the government's this administration and the previous one just kind of don't really care if their policies are legal as long as they can find a way to keep them in place. We saw that in the with George W. and the torture stuff. We see it now with Obama and the actual wording of the Affordable Care Act, which was argued in the Supreme Court this morning, and they're trying to pretend like, well, okay, so the program isn't what the law said it had to be, but still it's helping people, so therefore it's legal. Folks just seem to have completely forgotten that the if government is not under the law, then it's a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's that level of being so utterly naive. It's just like, it's just kind of, you really don't know what to do with that. Because if you have to start by explaining to people, well, no, it's important for the government to be on a leash and be under the law. It's like, good Lord, if they're that clueless, are they corrigible? It's a question of triage.
Limited government. I mean, there's a lot of argument. Well, I'm for a small government, limited government, a little bit of government, a little baby government. And I'm going, yeah, it's called family. I mean, you know, your household or something. King of your castle or something. Let's get down to there. I'm not against government. I'm just against coercive government. I mean, when you can figure that out, let me know. So I'm just, there's a lot of opportunities. That's where tech and blockchain technology and communication and participate, you know, there are opportunities to go that direction. But it doesn't serve the interest or purpose of those that benefit from a government-granted license monopoly of these guys can and these guys can't and go get them because they're competing. And that's happening in the Bitcoin community. Once you start getting all this interfacing with the banks and so on, there's going to be people out there with all kind of people money options. And they go, hey, they didn't get a permit and they're competing with us. And we kissed butt and did the know your customer and just allowed Uncle Sam to stick the tip in. It's just a little bit, you know, and we're it's all good, you know, and I'm wondering, it's just like watching how it always works. You know, you can't, you know, have any kind of government-granted monopoly and expect there isn't some special interest to try and use the force of government to eliminate competition. And in this kind of technology, you have to be really draconian, and you have to go after a lot. I don't know how they're going to play this. They, them, those. But they're not going to go quietly into that good night. And at the same time that you have, the economy is going to take a big, giant dump, and it's going to be some Monday. It'll be all of a sudden like gold and silver is taking a dump again now. Bitcoin's going up. The treasuries are, you know, going stupid. The monetary supply is what Yellen doesn't want the Fed to get audited, and I don't care. I just want to ignore it. And, you know, Europe is going imploding. Greece is. You know, what do you think about Greece? Do they have to bail them out? Do they make them take a bailout? What's going on there? Do you know?
Oh, hell. I mean, basically all I know is what I've seen in some of the papers. So I don't have anything thoughtful on that.
You know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to get your mindset. I share these things with you in this perspective because I want your perspective from being there. There has to be some trend that you're feeling. You know, there's battling ideologies going on the world stage right now for everybody around the world to see. And I'm
okay. Well, there are so many different levels of ugliness, and it's surprising to me that more people have not learned about how government is just so utterly untrustworthy and devious in so many cases.
Well, this government or government in general?
Government in general. Government in general. There are some governments and some politicians who seem like, you know, decent, solid entities. But by and large, as soon as you have have a competition for coercion, it brings out the worst in humanity.
Yeah. It attracts the worst, you know, and then you get the worst to support the worst to be in the worst. I mean, a mushroom cloud.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it doesn't come to that, and I'm not, well, obviously I'm not that pessimistic, or else I wouldn't be living where I am. I don't know. It's interesting to see what's happening recently as far as libertarians, because I would have hoped that libertarians would have had a more hardline response from 9/11 onwards. Some of them have, many of them did not. Some of the ones that did not are now kind of coming around Johnny come lately. But if you see the folks at that student liberty thing last month, and they're kind of ragging on Ron Paul for letters from 20 years ago and forgetting that when he was in Congress from 96 onwards, he was the number one opponent of the U.S. wars, it's like, you know, how can folks be so oblivious?
See, that's why I don't like Steiger Law thing. You know, it's whenever you create an organization around a movement or cause, sooner or later the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it, like every time. And so, like, yep. Students for this and the campaign for whatever and the such and such, all they have to do is you build up the support base, get the right guys on your board of directors, issue a statement of then it's, oh, it's okay. They said we could take your guns. I mean, you know, it's just, I see, you and I have been around long enough to see this, like, I don't know, every time. So this movement, this youth, I mean, how much do you kind of get a touchstone on that or go to the university or these student meetups or Bitcoin kind of stuff? I mean, do you refresh your perspective ever with these guys?
I've done a little bit of that. I haven't gone to those very much. Basically, I mean, I did a lot more of that in earlier years, and it gets a little predictable. There are a lot of fine young folks who are getting involved. There are a lot of fine young folks, smart folks who are fighting and doing some good writing on these things. But some of the atmospherics on these things it's the same response I've had to a number of the Beltway libertarian things after 9/11. It's just, there were lots of cases there were lots of barricades that were waiting to be taken a stand behind, but most of them weren't. So, after the Iraq war turns to crap, then people are saying, well, yeah, well, it was a bad idea. You know, you had a chance to say that in 2002 and you didn't. Ron Paul did, and that is to his eternal credit. But it's strange how these things are scored by a lot of folks. And
Well, I tell you one thing you'll be interested in that has not common knowledge yet. Two, 3 weeks ago, Charles Goyette went down to Dr. Paul's home and had him record three or four videos as preparation for the announcement in the Kickstarter campaign, crowdsource funding for the Ron Paul documentary that Charles Goyette's going to produce.
Oh, excellent. Charles does wonderful work.
Yeah, no, you know, if Charles is involved, you know, Ron feels a lot more comfortable having it. Because, of course, anybody and everybody and their grandma wants to, you know, oh, let us make a movie about your life. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, yes.
So having Charles do it, you know, at least you're going to get, you know, some of the, you know, the real stuff. And of course, it'll be out like 2016 Rand thing. And I'm going, sure. So how much Rand is it? He goes, none. You know, like, it's not about Rand. So I wonder what, you know, role that'll have. But to all the support that he got from the youth came at a price that he paid over the years that he and Carol and raising their family and going through and doing the justification and read. I think that would be fascinating. And I'm hoping that – I think that's the tack that's going to take. And within a week or two, I mean very soon, there's going to be an announcement and we'll start pushing it and the Kickstarter fundraiser will be done. I think it's a good way to kind of cap it off. You know, it's just like, you know, and this is why. Now, Michael Nystrom over at Daily Paul – he has they're doing the archiving of the Daily Paul. They're going to, like, if he hadn't already, they're going to stop it, archive it, done. This was the community up to now. It's a new era. And this campaign or this movie will kind of be a package. You can kind of go, okay, and we're done. And then because he knows that the big push for Daily Paul, because they got their hundreds of thousands of page views a day and it's the one, and kind of go, fine, you know, auction off a freaking ad on the front of that thing and Jeb Bush will freaking send you a big giant check, you know. But okay. He wants to – he's still kind of thinking about in private conversations, you know, it's not like a big secret, but he's like, well, what will we do? Well, okay, there's going to be a lot of people, they want to follow the Rand thing and so on, fine. But it's got to be separate from the other era. That's why he wants to do that. If you do that, okay, well, it's a Rand thing, but, you know, behind the scenes at the next level down in the forums, in the comments, and where if you want to go talk to Michael, he's down there, you know, being an anarchist. So it's like a big net of all the Rand. Fine, come on in. It's your, yeah, peace. You know, but you really want to know what's going on, you got to go one level down, then you're anarchist. You know, what's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? You know, a couple election cycles if you're paying attention. So he's just like, you know, getting a big net and going to get him to pay attention a couple times. So this kind of, I don't know how you combat that. I mean, you have to do something. You have to have a war. And I don't think people are paying attention to this war. And to get them to pay attention, there's going to have to be something. You know, measles, I mean, seriously, Ebola, you know, the swine flu, I'm wondering, there's going to have to be an ask, there's going to have to be something. Pay attention to us. Well, they're losing all their eyeballs on TV. You know, we haven't had TV for, I don't know, 6-7 months. We do Roku, and I feel a lot better, and I don't watch commercials. You know, I have, you know, a lot of the youth I remember when I first started doing radio, it was 03, 04, and I knew, man, the worm had turned. And it was when the hours that teenagers spent on the internet exceeded time watching TV, it was over. And it's just gotten worse since then, or better, you know. Your perspective, and that's why I like talking to you, being there, because maybe a lot of this stuff you may miss, and I'm wondering the influences on you and the stories you write and the people you talk to and the atmosphere you're in there in the Beltway is leads you to expect what are you seeing coming?
Oh God. Well, I don't have a good answer. It's frustrating again to see that there's been so little backlash against government abuses. I was amazed. I was appalled in December when the after the Senate committee report on the CIA torture came out, that a poll showed that a majority of Americans wished that report had not come out and didn't want to hear about this. And it was almost as if people were abdicating, even wanting to know about government atrocities. So. There are positive signs. There are lots of negative signs. It's kind of hard for me to sort out, and it's I don't know. I haven't got a good answer, Ernie.
Yeah, I remember when they had the Dewey Truman race, and the polling showed, you know, Dewey, and Dewey wins, blah 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 blah, and then Truman won. And one of the reasons were the group of people that they were using to poll. And I think they started right. using phones, and it was only the people that had phones then. Of course, that kind of limited it. And I'm going to polling now. It's, you know, people that watch TV or people that are involved or on some database. They even have a freaking phone number. I mean, because, you know, these young guys, they have a phone number. What's that? You know, they got, you know, cell phones that they don't have as much access to, certainly not openly that way. So I don't believe it. I don't trust it. I see a mood.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. To the point that that's where my fear is generated, if I have any about this kind of stuff, is that those are losing their grip. They're losing control. They got Netanyahu going to U.S. Congress screaming whatever the hell he's screaming. You know, I don't even know if he did in English or what. You know, I'm sure he probably did. But, you know, what's he saying? We got to go bomb Iran? Do you even know what his bottom line was? We got to go get Durka Durka Jihad people or something? What's he talking about?
Well, I mean, my understanding is that he is opposed to any kind of a deal with the settlement with the Iranian government, and that he's very much favors a military solution, and he wants the U.S. to do most, if not all, of the fighting. So.
Oh well, hell! As long as Israel says.
Well, this is part of the reason. That there are a lot of good liberal commentators. There have been a number of very savvy Jewish critics of the Israeli Prime Minister's speech because they don't want to be associated with his warmongering. So,
do you know what the youth or the people in Israel are they? They support it. I don't know what the lines are on these guys.
Well, you know, there was, you know, the people wondered why he spoke to Congress at 11 o'clock in the morning, and the reason was it could be broadcast on Israeli TV at dinner time during his election campaign.
Oh, because so he's in an election campaign. God, man. Man, so, what a symbiotic illness. You know what I just...
You got it. And there are a lot of Americans who are fed up with this and have written excellent criticisms of it. But most of the members of Congress, I don't know if they're ignorant or if they're craven or some of both. There was a program that Ron Paul had to bring in somebody out from some outsider, writer, whatever, once a week to talk to a congressman and a handful of his congressmen who he was tight with.
His Liberty Caucus or whatever he had?
Yeah, something like that. And I was, in late April 2009, he had me come in, and I spoke to folks about torture and the NSA wiretapping. And there were like almost a dozen congressmen there, and aside from Ron Paul and a gentleman from Maryland, an older gentleman from Maryland, they had no understanding and seemingly no interest in the torture issue. And this is something which I thought went to the heart of the credibility of the American government and whether we're going to have any limit on federal power. And it was just like, eh. And I had the impression that those guys had not even read the headlines in the Washington Post as far as some of the controversies about the torture. It seemed like that perhaps that all their information came from TV sources or talk radio, and so they knew basically nothing.
They just wanted to know how it affected them for the next election cycle.
Well, that's it. And it might be that with all the cheering going on for the Israeli Prime Minister's speech yesterday, a lot of the congressmen may have thought the same thing. But it's, you know, and it's an interesting situation here because on this issue, Obama is right. I mean, there's a shitload to criticize about Obama's policies on Iran. But compared to the GOP, Obama is far sounder. I don't know if you recall the 2012 vice presidential debate between Ryan and Joe Biden, but the issue of Iran came up. And Joe Biden gave the best explanation I've heard from any prominent American politician on this, just walking through like, well, no, it's not a problem, and because there was this and this and this. And Ryan was utterly flat-footed in his response. But it's been so rare for those moments of honesty and concrete facts to come out in American politics on the issue of Iran.
Well, what do you think is the truth when it comes to Iran? Is there you keep beating, you know, a dog, you know, or any animal or human being. I mean, sooner or later, they're going to bite you. You know, and it seems like the restraint that you see from the Persians has been interesting in and of itself. I'm wondering, you know, to how it's portrayed in Iran with the people. What do you think the message is there?
I don't know. I haven't followed Iranian politics. I know there's a split. There's hardliners there who want to push forward with a nuclear weapons program. I think the Muslim cleric spiritual leaders issued a fat wall or something like that, what they call it, to not go forward with the nuclear bomb program. So there isn't clear evidence that the Iranians are trying to do this. Gareth Porter has written an excellent book on this. I don't know if you've had him on your program, but Gareth would be an excellent person to talk to because Gareth knows the facts, and he's also extremely well informed on the Iranian politics and the government policy, and he'd also have a lot of insights into what the Israeli Prime Minister is seeking to do. And there's a lot of opposition in Israel, including from the former chief of the Mossad and others, against what the Israeli Prime Minister is pushing.
And who are we talking about, Gareth Porter?
Yeah, Gareth Porter is a good fellow. So,
we have a lot of his stuff that we publish. I tell you, okay, James, I can't immerse myself because it's so contradictory. I no matter what happens, I do the Vince Aprinowitz thing. You know, 3 weeks. You wait 3 weeks before. If it didn't, you know, the news, it wasn't a live coverage of somebody's cell phone in the first 10 seconds, 10 minutes, you know, the rest of it's just spin and BS, you know. And then, you know, you wait a few weeks and James Bovard writes the article and then you know what happened, you know. So I'm glad you came on and you spent some extra time with me. Hopefully from our conversations, you can see that my concern is really more the mindset of the people, the polling, what they say is done, who. When I go out in kind of interface with, we're doing the Bitcoin Summit thing here just to explain it to new users and merchants on Pi Day, you know, March 14th, 15th. I got to wait 100 years for that one again, you know. So on it's a week from this Saturday, and there's going to be a lot of just new people that'll come in and learn about not just the Bitcoin and how to use it, merchant and all that. That's not the point. It's the distributed, decentralized nature of people money. And I wrote an article, it was Black and White Bitcoin, Ernest Hancock, it'll probably come up, but it was I could see that the BRICS, what they were doing, there was an NGO group in India that went to last July. They had a BRICS meeting, and their whole thing was the World Bank and IMF. Their promise was to bring up developing worlds and help them out without just putting them in perpetual debt and how did our oil get underneath your sand kind of thing. And confessions, economic hitman kind of stuff. And they were saying, no, this has gone evil and the hegemony of the bad guys over there. And the BRICS are supposed to be a better solution. They're promising. They're gonna be better at it. We're gonna fix it. And we had them Skyped in from India, and the point that they were making is they said it's not really true. This is what we're talking about, and it started to form in my head what was going on. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, I don't get the impression that they wanted to create their own SWIFT competition, which they're doing, and they'll have their own currency, and they'll get off. But it seems like a negotiation ploy to get their own leather chair at the big mahogany table of we rule the world. And it seems like it's kind of, as they're jockeying, it's like you had the AFC and the NFC, and sooner or later you got to have a Super Bowl, And it finally, goes up to, okay, well, the Masters of the Universe have come together to be under round table of we rule you. And Bitcoin and the internet and the outer net and these satellite technology and space race and technology apps to get yourself off, it seems like, this ability and currencies of the people and trading cell phone minutes at 40% of GDP in Kenya, on flip phones. I mean, this kind of stuff, they see the people as their competition, as the threat to their hegemonic domination of everything. And that all these competing governments will come together. It's like in Firefly, Serenity, where it's the alliance. And that's why everything, you spoke English and Chinese. And it's like centuries before the alliance, these superpowers kind of came together and became the alliance was the government. And I see this happening as I'm, seeing the forest, is that all this stuff of who's going to compete against what, they're just jockeying for territory. And the only opposition, the only hope that humanity has is just as individuals, we just withdraw our participation, our consent, our radar screen presence of we just don't care. And it happens in so many different ways. And a lot of it is just not paying attention anymore, just not being infected by it. So that's why I'm afraid there's going to be some big, because there always is. There's always some big something. And when you don't have a lot of these young people on TV, you don't have them. They're even starting to, get off of Facebook. Now, my mom's on Facebook. They'll go on to some other, bypass. Snowden has created a whole new wave of different people going into darker web. They do Tor there. And then what happens? DARPA comes out and says, we got a browser engine, search engine to find out everybody on Tor, which was naval intelligence thing anyway. So I'm just going, I see this coming. I feel it just from experience. And that's why I like talking to you, is because you help me with another radar screen that's looking at something else. And I appreciate you spending the extra time for me to express my perception, my views, and my concerns, because there's overlap between us and we kind of get a better look at what I think is going to happen. And I don't know. But I know they're not going to go quietly into that good night. They're not going to just give up control and influence. And the people will always find, some tighter their fist, the more star systems leak between their fingers kind of thing. So if you come across or some this kind of thing from what you hear me say and you think there's, this is kind of, Ernie be interested in this guy, this thing, this event, okay. That's where I hope that you'll help me. Will you please?
Okay, sure. I'm happy to do that. I mean, a lot of the issues you raised today, I didn't have good answers, but I try to be honest about that. So,
yeah, no. It's just James' perspective. And you got another book you're working on?
I'm willing on some stuff, not anything worth talking about at this point. So, but thanks for asking.
Well, when do you think? Year or two, whenever you feel like it.
Frig if I know. I mean, it's since your tape is running, I will spare you the details.
Okay. Well, the one thing I thought was, I didn't even watch the Oscars or whatever, but I saw that Citizen 4 won Oscar for something.
Yeah, which is great. I was really happy to see that.
Yeah, I'm glad. And that was kind of just to bring attention to. I went and saw the movie, and we had to go to the art thing of a bar out downtown first Friday of, you know, back room thing. You know, it's a nice little place. It's a bar with the movie thing in the back. That's the only place it was playing. And I'm like, seriously? You know, I mean, that tells you what you need to know right there. And I watched it, and I was going, okay, this is interesting. This is, you know, footage and stuff and a story that behind the scenes that nobody got. And but it wasn't like great movie making or anything, but it was interesting add to the knowledge base. And this, what you're looking for, this rising up, I think that already happened. It was the Lovelution, and now they're just, and we're done. We're out here. We're going to raise our family and live our life and just wait for all the old guys to die off. And but I'm wanting to make sure that they're is a cultural shift to where we're not creating more and more really bad guys, which, you know, I'm sure we are. But it's going to be a cultural thing, a technology thing. And that's what I'm looking for. And I'm hoping to kind of show that or showcase it. And if I got to run for office to do it again like I always do, I mean, you know, just be a butthead, you know, I'd really rather not. But if that's what it takes, you guys want to play, let's play. And then,
well, it's, I mean, hell raising is something you're very good at, and if there was a way to do that with not too much disruption to your life and schedule and all that, then, you know, what the heck?
Yeah, so, that's kind of what it's building up to. I really would rather not. I've been, you know, for a long time. God, my last campaign was in 10, I think, and that was just for, you know, county recorder, just to, you know, told you so on a bunch of election fraud crap. But I thanks for spending this extra time. I'm really just doing therapy here for myself after going to Narcopoco and, you know, dealing with, you know, the government here and coming back to the news and going through all my email. Holy crap, you leave a week and damn, you know. And
I think I sent you the link on Mike McNulty dying.
Yeah, but Waco,
right.
We put that up, and
okay, yeah. Well, that's something which I'm sure you followed closely at the time. I don't know if you'd want to do something. Well, David Hardy, I guess you might know.
Yeah, no, I know David. He was the attorney that did the Freedom of Information to get a lot of the FLIR stuff and everything.
Right,
he's an attorney for the Libertarian Party in the state, Arizona, back in the 90s. So he was, you know, involved in that. So, yeah, that's Donna called, what's his name, Hardy, right?
David Hardy, yeah.
David Hardy, attorney, Tucson, Mike McNulty, yep. Dine, Waco. You know, you just put that on there, and then I'll know what that is. We'll do that. That'll be a really good job. We're going to have to do a 3-hour on that one, you know.
Well, Scott Horton had him on, I think, a day or two after McNulty died, and he was pretty good. But I think you could do there's a lot of other things to talk about with the party. And since you're out there in Arizona and since you're practically next door to Texas, you know, there's a lot that would resonate with you on that.
Yeah, no, we were involved in that a lot. We know a lot of things that were going on. We took a different tact. We had a lot of events, like we're doing the Bitcoin Summit. I don't know that much, you know, about Bitcoin I'm going to present, but I know some guys that do. And these guys are always talking about the inside baseball of this line of code crap, and they don't really understand that new merchants that they want to use this and people. They want to, you know, this wide adoption of people just, here, look at this great app and the possibilities. They're not talking to them. And during Waco and what was happening there, they were so in the weeds of all the little details and the conspiracy part that they were missing the overall, why did it even start to begin with? What was the goal? What is the, you know, and this, when you start looking at that, you start to see the pattern. And you and I have been around long enough that we see there's a definite freaking pattern. And the pattern is whatever justification they can do to totally remove any semblance of the promise of this government to begin with. Oh, the Article 5 convention thing. What's your deal on that?
I've heard a little bit about it. I'm so far behind.
They would have a new constitutional convention that's going to cure everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm holding my breath on that one.
Yeah. I'm just like, I tell you what I don't like. The first thing when I have these guys on is I go, well, what are you going to do about the debt?
I mean, you enslaved the future generations. My grandchildren, born and yet born, are going to have this enormous unpayable, mathematically impossible, forever slave debt. And I go, are you? Oh yeah, we gotta take that obligation. We're going to refi America. We're going to give you a refi, you know, and get this generation to, yeah. You see what I mean? I mean, doesn't that sound familiar?
Oh, God, it sounds like a bad mortgage company.
Yeah, no, it's a refi, and we get this generation to recommit. We signed up for whatever the hell they come up with, plus you owe the money. Where, you know, we had those signs, the billboards up, it's not my debt. You know, I'm going, how do you, and they're going to try and change the mindset to where the youth that are enslaved now forever, it's somehow justified because we got a refi and we signed it. You see my point? Then I'm going,
yep.
It's a dead letter, man. This is, there's something else that there were, there's a, I don't know if it's going to go global. I don't know if it's going to be the savior, the antichrist of I'm going to fix it or something. You know, this mindset, I see that's what we're coming up against, and it's all going to be based on fear. So if I can do a no fear campaign, you know, we're not afraid. I mean, you know, I can just, you know, be a butthead about it, then and do it politically. You know, then they can't take the signs. Well, they can, but I mean, you know, I get to put signs up. It goes to one page. It just has a bunch of videos about solutions of, you know, stuff that people don't know. I mean, cool stuff. You know, SpaceX is landing their first stage of their space stations up and kind of doing going to Mars. I mean, you know, where's my freaking Jetson flight? That was a presentation I did at Narcopoco. I go, you know, I showed the Jetsons. It had, you know, cartoon cell of, you know, them in their flying car. And the Jetsons started in 1962, and the last episode was 87. I had no idea they started that early. And I'm going, you know, and as a young kid, I'm born in 61. All of a sudden, Jetsons, yeah, of course I'm going to get, you know, you have Star Trek, and then you have the moon landing. And then they, and then I go, but then it went bad. You know, in the 70s, they gave me a spanky new space shuttle and named it Enterprise. And then in the 80s, they had, you know, a space shuttle. In the 90s, they upgraded the space shuttle. In 2000, I got a really pimp space shuttle. I mean, it's just, I'm going, seriously? And just the last few years, look at what's happened in the private industry. And all of a sudden, here's some of my flying cars that I showed. And I go, this is, we're going to evolve our way past this. But there are those that do not benefit from that. And they are so lazy, and they have so many resources they could really make use in free humanity, have big markets, but they're so small-minded and evil, they don't see, they want power and control. And if you're not in control, you're out of control, and they do bad things. And I'm just, you come across the bad stuff be a coming, make sure I know, because you're probably paying attention to that more than I am.
Well, yeah, I'll certainly try to shoot you a heads up on that. And otherwise, it's fun to talk with you because you're so much more optimistic in the long term.
Yeah, long term.
It's good to have a long term perspective.
So humanity marches on. I got grandkids. I just like to,
which is great,
survive and enjoy it with them.
Well, I hope you're able to do that.
All right, thanks for coming on, James. And any project you got going, these pimped, you let me know. Okay.
Hey, thanks so much, Ernie. I really appreciate that.
You bet. Peace, brother. Bye. All right.